We came up with this idea that we should sue these folks in civil court to bankrupt them. Our hope is that by taking their money away, they can't function anymore.
And that was successful?
Yes, every single one of them has been successful.
Today, my understanding is today there was an arrest made, and there is a new indictment that includes the former CFO of SPLC.
The SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the organization that for more than 50 years has committed to fighting for social justice and against racism and against extremism and violence, has actually been funding that racism, that extremism, that civil injustice behind the scenes.
The chickens are coming home to roost on this, but there's reportedly new indictments. I've been talking to the FBI and others. I'll just leave it at that.
The ADL, SPLC, the propaganda arm, they work hand and fist with the CIA and with the FBI to demonize, target, marginalize, and then imprison people and debank them and everything else they do.
I want to start off with the FOIA request that we got earlier this year, done by Chase Geyser, which details an investigation started against Alex Jones back in 2013 as being a white, racially motivated extremist. So this started in 2013, and it was ongoing, where they had to approve it every 60 days. They would have to review it and go, okay, we're going to keep this going. So as far as we know, it's still ongoing. It's still on the books.
And we got the FOIA request that the Trump FBI gave to us, and yeah. Kyle Serafin, very famous FBI whistleblower who was in counterterrorism, looked at the codes on the documents. They're heavily redacted and blacked out. Right. And he said it was the Boston office. It happened right when Comey got appointed, 2013, under Obama, and was specifically running an espionage, counter-espionage operation against us, which is what they do when they try to do a dragnet to find some dirt, but can't do it inside of a regular criminal investigation.
The number of hate groups has been increasing pretty rapidly and frighteningly, really since 2000.
One people, one nation, and immigration.
White supremacists commit far more acts of domestic terrorism in the United States than radical Islamists, for example.
That demand for white supremacy vastly outstrips the actual supply for white supremacy. And because of that, they have to go to the well and they have to drum things up, create things up, and it turns out actually fund this thing. So they've been throwing money to the KKK, to neo-Nazis. They were going out there and trying to find out, if can we get something to pretend like Alex Jones is worse than he really is.
So the Southern Poverty Law Center, who's been caught doing this before, to come in, get a few people from central casting, actors, dress up, you know, like the white supremacists. Then they've got all the Antifa bust in by Soros and everybody. They're ready then, and the police kettle the normal conservatives, march them through, let them get beaten up for the psyop of the image of conservatives getting beat up and Antifa being victorious.
Haiti Bayrick, right? She was the one in charge of contacting the social media companies, Facebook, Twitter, Jack Dorsey, Mark Zuckerberg, and giving them the information on who to ban.
They want to ban us from public, and they want to put us in prison for our speech. I mean, that is totalitarian.
It is. It is. And it always starts with speech. It always starts with the First Amendment and goes all the way through the spectrum. And then with her specifically, this is another Black Lives Matter banner that I don't even know what happened to it. This lady was their star witness for the Paul Weiss firm.
By the way, that's the group that's been quarterbacking the lawsuits against me.
Yes. Yes.
All the same coordinating group.
All of us, the Oath Keepers, everybody involved.
She was the woman indicted is the star witness on me, you, all of us.
The judge defaulted you, basically keeping from the jury the fact that you had complied with discovery, that you had in fact participated in the civil justice system, but instead told the jury you'd been found liable for causing harm. And the result was this eye-popping verdict that was untethered to the facts of the case.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been working the PSYOP forever. You know, they've been putting stuff in our food that you've been talking about forever. They've been trying to weaken us, dumb us down. They've been trying to mass manipulate us through propaganda, through our TV shows, through cartoons, you know, even installing, you know, Soros teachers in colleges.
We're about
and
to do a lot with Professor John. Stay with us.
Yeah, and we were the few that rose above it. You know, we were the few that rose above it and had a voice. And we weren't afraid to stand up. So we got out there and we rose above what they had thought that they had dumbed us down to. And people saw us and they go, man, if these guys can do it, we can do it. We can fight back. And it scared them. It really did. They saw us as public enemy.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to FreedomRx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed three. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it. But going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There's so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant, your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
I shall freeze his microphone, then freeze free speech itself. He will be on ice. I'm going to control the banks, the media, and the weather until the whole world is under my control.
The plan is perfect, indeed. Gotham will crumble, and we shall rule.
Joker, Penguin, freeze. Your master plan has one fatal flaw. Me. And I've already calculated every one of your next moves on the Bat Computer.
Holy globalist conspiracy, Batman. Let's go get them now.
You may have tied us up this time, Cape Crusaders, but you can't tie up our globalist agenda. We'll be back!
The Alex Jones Network. Tomorrow's news, today.
And you're sitting in your house or office, and all of a sudden the windows all blow out, and then 10 seconds later you see a flash of red coming at you. That's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter and the fallout, and then a few weeks after the nuclear war, here comes the warlords coming to loot your house and rape your wife and kids. And people got their teeth falling out from radiation poisoning, and all these crazy guys stumble out of their vehicles, and it'll be doctors and medics and engineers, and they'll all been gone totally crazy. And you have a bunch of 140 IQ psychos that are literally going across the land like army ants, devouring everything in their way, and all the low IQ people will just be dead in a ditch. And then the near of civilization goes bye-bye, and all of a sudden there's all these monsters, all these 140, 150, 160 IQ monsters. The guy that used to manage the golf course, your surgeon, your neighbor who's the army vet. And now all of a sudden, they're hauling you up by a chain to butcher your ass and eat you. And if I wanted to get outside the blast zone, I could go get ready, and I could be the leader. I could be a new warlord. I could organize the engineers and scientists and warriors and have a battle plan how we were going to take the resources we needed, get to a redoubt, fortify it with weapons, because there's going to be other warlords coming soon we're going to contend with as we rebuild civilization. It's not that I want to be a warlord, but that's what we're going back to. Are you ready to be a warlord? Are you ready for me to be humongous? Just give us the gas. We spare your lives.
I know how much pain you feel, but wait. Now is not the time. You'll be given your vengeance.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Listening to an AlexJonesLive.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Professor Zhang Shuai-Qin is our guest for the next 2 hours here in Austin, Texas, in studio. I've been seeing his work for several years, and he's been incredibly accurate in his predictions, and that's the type of guest that we like to have on, people that are consistently right, unlike the corporate media that's trying to be consistently deceptive and wrong. And I'm not going to go over his whole bio. I think it's better if he just describe himself for everybody and kind of break down his awakening. And he came prepared with a whole bunch of clips and documents and articles and analysis he wants to go over. I've got a lot of questions and points I want to get to with him. But we're in a new world war. It's economic. It's energy. Military is just one aspect of it. He really does a great job doing the big picture and what we're dealing with and the different developments that could come out of that. So, Professor, thank you so much for being here. We'll put up on screen where people can find your work. But pretty much everybody watching will go, oh, I know that guy, because you just continue to rack up hundreds of millions of views, you know, every month, sometimes every week, as people listen to your analysis that is dead on. And we can have different perspectives on the outcome of it. But regardless, you are, I would say, in my view, one of the most accurate people about where we currently are. So thanks for being here, sir.
Thanks so much, Alex. I'm really happy to be here. You are a very brave man, sir. Not that many people dare pronounce my name, but you took a leap of faith, and it was perfect. Well, so
I'll mess it up, I'm sure, but thank you.
Yeah.
It's great to have you here. So talk about yourself a little bit, because you never do that in interviews, and it's great to, I guess you're doing a U.S. tour, but just talk about yourself a few minutes, and let's plunge into your 35,000-foot view and start drilling into where we are right now.
Yeah, so I was born in China, but when I was six, we went over to Toronto. That's where I grew up. I studied at Yale College, English Literature, and then I went back to China to work in education. I'm a high school teacher. I'm not a professor.
Well, I'm going to call you the professor.
Okay, well, thank you so much. 2 years ago, I started to upload my videos on YouTube, and I was making these geopolitical predictions, and as you point out, some have turned out to be very accurate. And so I blew up online, and that's why I'm here today.
Well, everybody calls you the professor because, you know, that's like a nickname. Anybody that's smart knows what they're talking about. We call the professor. So,
thank you.
So we're going to give you that title. So where do you want to go? Because I got 1,000 questions,
yeah.
But I think it's good for you to see where you're at, why you're doing a U.S. tour,
yeah,
and where we are, because you have Canada threatening to cut off our electricity, 50% tariffs on both sides. You have the strait pretty much still closed. Trump's been caught lying about that. You have Russia threatening to hit NATO. I mean, everything is accelerating very quickly. You have the monetization of the debt, QE infinity, by the Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. That's already backfired. It looks like the AI bubble's about to pop. I mean, we are on the cusp of, I think it's fair to say, very interesting times.
It's the end of the world. So I'm here today to raise awareness. And one thing that I think it's very important for your audience to appreciate is this war in the Middle East, it is more than a geopolitical struggle. It's more than an economic war. It's first and foremost an eschatological war. It's a religious war. And this war has been planned for the past 30 years. And this war, it is meant to usher in the end times, so that Jesus may return, so that Jewish Messiah can come, so that the war of Gog and Magog will start. So I think it's very important people need appreciate the religious dimensions of this war and why it can't really end.
And as you've said, the lectures I've seen elaborate on it, because people may not have seen them. I'm a big follower because I know what you're saying is true. You have the Iranians thinking the 12th Imam's coming. You have the mainline rabbis that are in control of Israel right now believing they're forcing the Messiah. You have Christian Zionists believing it. I mean, this is like hell-bop stuff where they drink all the vodka and take the barbiturates and think they're going to die and get beamed up to the comet. But this is on a mass scale. So lay that out and explain it. Whether you believe this or not, this is what the different parties all believe. The Muslims think a guy on a white horse is going to come back. And the Revelation says that's the Antichrist. You've got the Jews trying to rebuild the third temple and the red heifer. And this is the people telling Netanyahu what to do. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah. So the first thing people need to appreciate is in the year 1995, Israel was a very different place. In the year 1995, they were engaged in something called the Oslo peace process. And the leader at that time, Isaac Rabin, was committed to creating a two-state solution to resolve the Palestinian issue. The logic was very simple. Israel could not have security unless there was peace with the Palestinians. If there were no peace for the Palestinians, Israel would always be at conflict with the Arab nations, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt and other places. So, and then a couple years later, there's a clean break. They literally, they called it the clean break from the Oslo peace process. And after that, Israel was, intent on establishing regional hegemony throughout the Middle East. And this is what, and that is what has led to today. So the question then is, why did Israel make this clean break? Why did Israel, discard decades of, national security thinking about the Middle East and adopt a hegemonistic, militaristic,
Greater Israel Project.
Why did Israel start to adopt the Greater Israel Project? And what I want to argue to you today is that Benjamin Netanyahu was brought into power specifically to implement the Greater Israel Project. And as evidence, what I want to do is show you three clips and chart the rise of Netanyahu. So in the 1980s, Netanyahu is the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations. And there in New York City, he meets a man named Rebbe Schneerson, who is the chief rabbi of a movement called Chabad Lubavitch, a Hasidic Jewish organized movement around the world. So
who believe they're going to force the coming of the Messiah.
That's right. They practice the Kabbalah. And in their understanding of the Kabbalah, they have a religious duty to create the conditions for the coming of the Messiah. And these three conditions include the creation of the Greater Israel Project, the return of the Jewish diaspora to Israel, and the building of the Third Temple. And if you track current events, all three are taking place all at once. So let's first look at clip number one. And this is year 1998, when Benjamin Netanyahu is first elected to the Knesset.
This is 88. How many years ago is that? Like 40 years?
Yeah, like 35. My math is not great. So over 30 years ago. But this has been Netanyahu meeting with Rebbe Schneerson. And Rebbe Schneerson has basically, basically established a personal relationship with Netanyahu. And there are rumors that Rebbe Schneerson sees Netanyahu as the final prime minister before the coming of the Messiah ben David.
And there's videos just a few years ago of the head rabbi saying, hurry up, get the war going.
That's right. That's right. That's clip number two.
Okay.
Right. So let's look at clip number one.
Go to clip one. Here's a clip from 1988. Here is Benjamin Netanyahu. Here it is.
Yeah, it's a very short clip.
Well, this is 38 years ago, and we're on hundreds of radio stations, so that most of them don't speak Hebrew. But here's the head of this powerful group saying, you work for me from the start. Yes, I do. You will start all this, the wars. You will get the Messiah back. You will hurry up and do it. And then now he's worked tirelessly from 9/11 all the way through. Now they admit they want to hit Turkey. and Egypt next, and they're already bombing their forces. I mean, this is insane.
That's right. That's right. And so this is a plan that's been in motion for the past 30, 40 years. And Netanyahu was positioned in Israeli politics in order to achieve the Greater Israel Project. And that's why he's been in power for the past 20 years. He has been Israel's longest serving prime minister, and he's deeply divided the country. At the same time, he's proven himself to be extremely resilient.
I know the rabbi says, you will not be intimidated. He goes, no, I've been with you from the start. We will carry out the mission.
That's right. That's right. So let's go to clip number two. And this is even more stark, where Rabbi Schneerson, in this year, 1990, and 4 years later, Rabbi Schneerson will die. But Rabbi Schneerson basically tells Netanyahu, gives him his mission, which is to hurry up the coming of the Messiah.
Marching orders.
The marching orders, yes.
Here's a clip.
Yeah, it's very short.
And it looks like the same clip, even though it's a few years later, because they all stand the exact way, everything.
That's right. That's right. So I want to show you one more clip to show you the extent of Rabbi Schneerson's network and how many powerful players are involved in this mission, okay? So this is the year 1991, and Sheldon and Miriam Adelson are about to get married, and they go to Rabbi Schneerson to ask for his blessing for their marriage. So let's...
This is kissing the ring basically by the main financiers that come to Trump later.
That's right. That's right. And this is important because, as you know, Sheldon Adelson is the main American financial backer of Netanyahu's political career.
And now Trump.
2016, 2020, Sheldon Adelson is the main financial backer of Donald Trump.
Number one.
Yes.
Here's the clip. Here's clip three.
If you give him $2 bills, then it's a double blessing. So he's given $2 bills. So this guy, Rabbi Schneerson, is essentially the Pope of Chabad Lubavitch. His grave, he died in 1994, his grave is in Queens, New York. His grave is the most visited Jewish holy site outside of Israel. Javier Milei, when he first became president of Argentina, his first foreign visit was to the grave of Rabbi Schneerson.
And didn't they say at first they thought he would be the Messiah, then they decided no, so that he was going to reincarnate as the Messiah?
That's right. So if you look at the Javier Lubavitch website, they refer to Rabbi Schneerson as the seventh and the final Rebbe of Chabad Lubavitch. Why is it the final? Because he is the Messiah. And at the end of the days, he will reincarnate and come to the Jewish people as the Messiah. That is what many...
And we know it's a coalition of these guys that keep Netanyahu in power.
That's right.
Do you think he's cynically doing this, or does he believe it?
I believe he believes it. I believe that he is on God's mission to bring about the end of the world and to bring God to earth. He really believes it. And that's why he's been so successful. So some background about Chabad Lubavitch is that they were founded in Russia, Ukraine, 20 years ago. And for most of their history, they were heavily persecuted by first the Tsar.
You said 200 years ago?
200 years ago, yes. By first the Tsar, and then later the Soviet authorities. And, you know, for many, many decades, they were on the brink of extinction. But then Louis Brandeis, who was at that time, in this year, 1940, he was at that time the most powerful Jew in the United States. He was Associate Supreme Court Justice. Brandeis University is founded after him. He was one who brought Habib Lubavitch to the United States. And the thing about Louis Brandeis was that he was the most ardent Zionist all of that time. And he brought Habib Lubavitch to the United States because they shared a lot of similar beliefs about the end times. And in 1940, Habib Lubavitch was a very small persecuted movement, but through dedication, they basically were in Brooklyn and they invested in Brooklyn real estate. They pulled all the resources together. They became an extremely wealthy, influential organization so that they now are able to influence Trump through Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner's family is a very prominent member.
His father,
member of Habib Lubavitch.
And I should add, they're also comporting themselves into the Rothschild plan that the Balfour Declaration, and long before 1947, they were also setting this up for this messianic deal. So this is, whereas this group's key to getting it done, in my view, they're more like the foot soldiers or enforcers of this larger Rothschild project.
That's right. And the connections are insane because not only are they connected to Trump, but they're also connected to Putin. Habib Lubavitch is very powerful in Russia.
I noticed Putin said, I'm not against Israel. He goes, you know, a third of them are Russian.
So there is a news article of this Putin official who called Habib Lubavitch in Russia a supremacist cult. Putin fired this guy. That is how influential Habib Lubavitch is. Habib Lubavitch is also obviously very influential in Israel. But there are a lot of Epstein connections as well, Jeffrey Epstein. So the first connection is that Jeffrey Epstein's mentor was Robert Maxwell. Robert Maxwell and Reverend Snierson go way back. They're good friends. If you remember, after Robert Maxwell was killed in 1991, Jeffrey Epstein starts to date his daughter, Ghislaine Maxwell. And then Jeffrey Epstein becomes suddenly wealthy. And there are people who speculate that it's because a lot of money that Robert Maxwell stole from his pension funds were transferred to
And that's
Jeffrey
why the
Epstein.
British probably killed him and threw him off the boat.
Well, people speculate it was Mossad that actually
killed him. To clean it up, yeah. Oh, exactly. Cover up the theft.
That's right. That's right. So another connection is in the year 1991, Leslie
West. And that boat was called Ghislaine.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. So that's right.
When I say MI6 Mossad, same thing. For me, they're all
KGB, yeah. And another connection is in the year 1991, Leslie Wexner signs over power of attorney over to Jeffrey Epstein. They barely knew each other. Who would you sign your power of attorney over to? Probably no one, because that gives the person the power of life and death over you, right? So so the question then we've never really answered is, why would Leslie Wexner sign over power of attorney to Jeffrey Epstein? Now, what we also know is that Leslie Wexner created something called the Mega Group. And the Mega Group funds pro-Zionist activities in the United States. They specifically fund something called Birthright Israel. And Habib Lubavitch is the main implementer.
Stay right there.
Okay.
We're going to come back with John Zhang Shui-Chin on this and get it. This is all documented. I can tell you everything he's saying is on target. It's a great way of putting it all together. You can look all this up for yourself. And we're going to look into how did this Epstein guy show up? How did he get put on the board of the Trilateral Commission? How did he become the main representative of the Rothschilds? Why is Trump so scared of this coming out? This is the key to understanding what's happening. Let me make a huge announcement that has been 3 years being prepared, and that is a giant, fantastic, full online pharmacy with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. I mean, we've got the heads of the different national associations on the board of this. It's not my company. It's the folks we've been working with that are going to build the whole new network and all the new systems. So when you get a great deal on your online pharmacy, they got everything under the sun with the very best service and the very best quality, no matter where you are. Then the funds go into building a new army in the info war that will dwarf our past activity. A true 360 win. Announcing freedomrxhealth.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is incredible. The prices are super low. It's all the highest quality, and it's everything. And obviously, with all the stuff we've been embroiled in the last few years, fighting the deep state info wars, it didn't launch because they would just try to blow it up on the ground. But now it's ready. Everything is at FreedomRx, one word, FreedomRxHealth.com. But we're focusing today on several of the big areas that I want to recommend to you. And it's so easy, and it's so quick, and it's literally like on average 30% of what you get at a local doctor's office. And the service is so much better. Something Trump did good legalizing telemedicine in his first administration. The very best testosterone therapy and all the other hormonal therapy, energy, muscle, libido, mood, all the good peptides, the BPC-157, NAD, all of them, every single one of them. And what I've seen with professional football players I know and friends and doctors and scientists and all the stuff that's going on, it is incredible. They've got every single one with the lowest prices. Sexual health, PT-141, woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, cognitive support. They got everything. And everything is cash, no insurance, medication shipped directly to the patient, door in discreet packages. All protocols are physician prescribed through a licensed telehealth physician network. It's all there. There's only one rule up front. Patients cannot call in to sign up. It has to all be done through the portal, so it follows all the laws. Very easy to do. All new patients must go through the portal at freedomrxhealth.com. This protects the patient, the physician, and the platform legally. Once onboarded, patients can reach support by phone or by mail, but sign up is entirely online so that all the laws are followed. It's so simple. Do it in a few minutes. HIPAA compliant. Your health information is 100% protected. Patient goes to freedomrxhealth.com. Patient selects the protocol and completes the intake. Patient does the labs at a local, either recommended or blood testing facility of your choice. For physician review and consultation, prescription written, medication ships to the patient's door. Six easy steps. When you go to FreedomRx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Your health, your business, nobody else's. FreedomRx, preserving health, upholding values. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed three. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it, but going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait until we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. Go now to FreedomRxHealth.com. Preserving health, upholding values, your health, your business, nobody else's, the very best quality, the total selection of everything, the best telemedicine, so easy, the ball's in your court. Go now to FreedomRxHealth.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The way she moves her hips up to her fingertips, I feel I'm heaven bound. And when she starts to sway, I've got to say, she really moves the grass around. Rock, a hula baby, rock, a hula baby, got a hula loo from Honolulu. There's a rock, a hula baby of mine. Although I love to kiss my little hula miss, I never get the chance. I want to hold her tight all through the night, but all she wants to do is dance. Rock, a hula baby, rock, a hula baby, got a...
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Well, the phenomenon, the educator, John Wayne Jean, is our guest here. And I want to continue with this power block, and then I want to get into the big picture, AI, Trump, the wars, how it all ties together, your future predictions, what people really want here today, sir. Thank you so much. But let's go here first. We'll put your lower third up. Where's the best place for people to find all the great work you do?
Yeah, so I have a YouTube channel, Predictive History. I also have a Substack, also Predictive History.
Predictive History is where they find what you're doing.
That's right.
Just put your name in and Predictive History.
Yep.
All right, fantastic. All right, continue. We've got clip four, got a lot of presentations here, and then we're going to get into big picture and how to hopefully get out of this or your predictions. Please continue.
Yeah, so after Reverend Sessions' death in 1994, what happens next are a series of
wars. After the Messiah's death.
After the Messiah's death. But it's okay for the Messiah to die because they believe in the transmigration of the soul. So the Messiah is always present, but in different bodies. So it takes special conditions for the Messiah to emerge and announce himself. So what they believe is now that the Messiah, Reverend Sessions, has passed, his soul is now in another body. And when certain conditions are met, then he will reappear. And these,
and I've seen some rituals at Mar-a-Lago and places where they, and I've seen these groups say maybe Trump is him.
Possibly, yes, the transmigration of the soul. So what happens after his death is...
So Trump could, they think, could be have the rabbi in him right now.
Possibly, because remember...
In, Trump could be possessed by the Messiah.
Because in 2024, before the election, Trump himself went with Howard Lunick and Ben Shapiro to the grave of Reverend Sessions to ask for his blessing. And people...
I forgot that, guys. Pull that up. Say that again. What year was... I remember that. What year
2024.
2024, Trump election. Went to this rabbi's grave for his blessing.
That's right. That's right. And Ben Shapiro and Howard Lunick accompanied him. And
yeah, so that's when Ludwig's not with Epstein or at his island, yeah.
That's right. That's right. So...
And before the break, you were getting... And it was interrupted by the break. And I'm sorry to cut you off. Those are hard satellite breaks for the radio stations and TV stations. You were getting into the Epstein connection... And all the rest of that, I'm glad I remember. People think I was covering it up. Let's go back to Epstein, and he goes to Barr's dad's girls' school. Suddenly, he's on the Trudeau Commission. 1990 made the chair of it. Whenever David Rockefeller wasn't there,
yes.
Now we have the emails, literally, where the Rothschilds are saying he is our representative. You have Nat Rothschild, the head of it,
right?
Now taking over islands in Albania. This is a big deal.
That's right. That's right. So if you look at what Epstein did, people focus on the blackmail aspects, but they don't appreciate the larger influence operation that Jeffrey Epstein was running. So if you looked at Robert Maxwell's career, he was a textbook publisher. He was also a publisher of academic journals. So he had a huge influence.
And a huge media owner.
That's right. So he had a huge influence in academic, media, and publishing circles. Same thing with Jeffrey Epstein. Remember, on his island, he would invite the most influential scientists to his island, including Marvin Minsky, Steven Pinker, Larry Summers.
He was heavily, Maxwell was heavily connected to sex operations.
That's right, that's right. But he was also a heavy funder of academic projects, science projects, which is very similar to what Robert Maxwell did. So it seems to me that both are trying to influence the popular academic narrative about the world in order for whoever they work for to better influence politics.
What do you make now of this being so revealed, though, and it not being taboo to talk about it? And I know you live in the East, but I do watch a lot of the media over there. Even mainline national shows in China talk about the power of the Jewish lobby and the rest of it, something that was taboo here previously. They didn't say bad things. They said, oh, we studied them. We admire them. Yes, we're learning a lot. And, yes, we're going to give them a run for their money. How does China fit in? You know, if the U.S. is so greatly controlled by AIPAC to a great extent, with the new NDA, we give them full control of our military. What is China's relationship? What is China's view? I know it's the government and the corporations, the people, but in general, what's the view over there?
Well, all that's happening in the Middle East is a complete mystery to the Chinese people, because the Chinese people are very pragmatic. They're very utilitarian. So they see things from an economic lens. And you try to explain that there is a messianic component to what's going on, it confuses people.
More transactional, like, okay, we buy oil. They're like, what, this is a messiah thing.
That's right. That's right. And they don't understand why the United States would engage in this war, a war that is destroying the global economy. And
Trump's recovery.
Exactly. Right? So it's almost self-defeating. But again, if you look at it from a geopolitical lens, it makes no sense. So, but if you start to look at it from a messianic, eschatological lens, then it makes more sense.
So how does China, I'm not Chinese, but I've definitely studied it. They're pretty, like you said, pragmatic.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe get into numbers and a little bit of superstition, but like facing, like ready to go to nuclear war, wanting war to bring in something, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
It makes absolutely no sense to the Chinese. And again, what's happening is the Chinese have cognitive dissonance. And what Chinese believe is that eventually Iran and the United States will come to an...
They
to
keep
an,
thinking sanity will prevail.
Unfortunately, that's what they believe, yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, so, but the question for us is, why is this all public? You know, you can just go on YouTube.
It's not even hidden.
It's not hidden.
I was about to say, used to, this was not known. We have thousands of emails about eating children and sex slaves.
Yes,
and
yes.
No one gets in trouble.
Yes.
Well, the elites in delusion land, though, they're totally convicted in the public. I'm proud of MAGA that 80% of it turned against Trump when he did this. I'm not glad that Trump turned into this, but... I mean, his base is not like Democrat bases. They're done.
Yeah.
And they just don't care. They just boil forward.
Yeah. So I think there are two explanations for why all this information is public. The first is the idea of the revelation of method. So it's to reduce karmic responsibility among the elite, because if they tell us what's going on and we don't know anything about it, then we become complicit.
Hiding in plain view.
That's right. But another thing, which actually even more...
Which is, again, more black magic, Kabbalic, whatever you want to call it.
That's right.
It's lesser magic. If they tell you, you do nothing, you're now complicit, you now lose your free will agency.
That's right. That's right. But another thing that's even more perplexing, even more problematic, is they want us to know about this because it will foster anti-Semitism within society. And remember, a precondition for the coming of the coming of the Messiah is all Jews must return to Israel. All Jews. The problem with that is 1/3 of American Jews are secular. 40% of Israeli Jews are secular.
And so you've got to create a climate like the Levant affair or all the others, where it's so dangerous for Jews, they've got to leave.
Exactly, exactly.
Which is why they get caught with the Southern Poverty Law Center funding all the white supremacists and all the countless declassifications of Israel, bombing synagogues around the world in the 50s, 60s, 70s to make them come back. This has been a long-term project.
And it's really important for us to appreciate that the people responsible, only a small minority, like even like less than 1% of Jews, but they're hiding behind Judaism. And they're cynically using Judaism in order to advance their agenda. So whenever you call them out, they call you out as an anti-Semite, right? If you say, like, listen, these people are crazy and they are trying to usher in the end times. And then they say, well, all you're doing is you are, trying to promote this global Jewish conspiracy theory. You know, the protocols of the elders of Zion.
When in truth, Israel created Hamas, funded it, funds Al Qaeda, funds what's happening in Syria. And literally brag like we're kids and don't know it, that no, we're creating this. Like I read the famous rabbi saying, a cow in Palestine is worth more than all the Jews in Europe. They had to deal with Hitler to only let them go there. I'm not saying Hitler was good. I can't stand Hitler because I know the history. They had to deal with Hitler to do this, to persecute them. Then they had to pay rich Jews to even get out to their rich Jews. So really it's a cult where the cult feeds on their own people.
And what people don't appreciate is these Kabbalists, these Messianic Jews, the way they understand history is very different from the way we understand history. So the Holocaust, we appreciate it. It was caused by Hitler.
They see it as a sacrifice.
They see it as God's will. Because what happened, if you just read the Bible, every time the Jews suffer, it's because the Jews turn away from God. It's because the Jews worship false idols. So if you go back to your 1920, most Jews were secular, and they were integrated, assimilated into Western society.
So this is their punishment for not following.
That's right. They turn away from God, and therefore God had to force them to repent. And this is consistent in the Bible, because remember, Moses, when he was leading the Jews out of slavery from Egypt into Promised Land, the Jews... worship a false idol, and so that God had to make them wander the desert for 40 years. And
well, he comes down with the tablets and throws them down, and a bunch of them get swallowed into a pit and killed.
That's right. And why was the first temple destroyed? Why did the Babylonians destroy the first temple? It's because the Jews worship false idols. They worship other gods besides Yahweh. And so Yahweh had to force them to repent. And he used the Babylonians as a tool for his vengeance. And so these Kabbalists believe that Hitler was a tool of God in order to wake up the Jews.
And by the way, I can play hours of famous rabbis saying that. Don't be mean to Hitler. We were bad. He was the instrument.
That's right.
And if anybody challenges me, I'll do a whole show and play the clips.
And these are what these Messianic Jews really believe, that whenever the Jews turn away from Yahweh, Yahweh has to punish them. So,
but they say the second temple they didn't deserve, and so now they're mad at all of Europe. And even America is saying it will be destroyed, including Benjamin Netanyahu's main rabbi.
So there's a clip of Benjamin Netanyahu being asked by a journalist, what book do you have in your hand? And Benjamin Netanyahu says, Rome versus the Jews by Barry Strauss, the historian. And the journalist asks him, why are you reading that book? And Netanyahu is like, well, it didn't work out for us well the first time, right? So Israel...
But his dad wrote a book on that too.
Yeah. So Israel sees itself at war, not necessarily against the Middle East, but against the world, especially the Western world, right? Because they see Rome...
Because the only people to beat them was the Romans, so they're still in that football game.
That's right. That's right. And who represents Rome today?
America.
That's right.
Netanyahu says that in speeches. We did a film called, like 50 million views, called Eight Front War.
Right.
And it has all their quotes.
So you can make the argument that what's happening in the Middle East, it's not a war to destroy Iran. It's a war to destroy the U.S. presence in the Middle East.
Well, that's what the chief finance minister, Smotrich, said a month ago. He said, this is wonderful. Both our enemies are fighting each other and going bankrupt. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, well, that's the real underpinning here, though. Why do they attack people and try to get you censored if you talk about what they say, but we're quoting them and showing videos? It's very weird that they want to suppress you talking about it, but they say it. That, I guess that's part of the revelation of the method? Or...
I mean, he's talking to an Israeli audience, right? And
so it's an arrogance. We're going to say it, and you're going to keep your mouth shut.
That's right. That's right. It's very important for the Israelis to discuss amongst themselves how to do it so they can better implement the plan. Listen, all this is out there. So in 1996, they published a memo called the Clean Break Memo. It was written by Richard Perle.
Netanyahu commissioned the neocons.
That's right. That's right. And what the Clean Break Memo calls for is the Greater Israel Project. It calls for Israel to establish regional hegemony. It calls for Israel to no longer depend on the United States. For Israel to become independent of the United States, it calls for Israel to use force to resolve the Palestinian issue. If you looked at the Clean Break Memo, you look at today, they basically fulfilled the Clean Break Memo. So all the planning is out there.
In fact, if Iran's the last, then the next is Turkey and Egypt, which is
right. So if you look at the Greater Israel Project, it extends from the Nile in Egypt to the Euphrates in Iraq. It also includes parts of Anatolia, which is modern-day Turkey. It also includes Saudi Arabia, specifically Mecca and Medina. And if you look at what's happening in the Middle East today, Saudi Arabia is being destroyed by the Houthis. Iraq was destroyed a long time ago.
That's the chaos that Smotrich said is great.
Exactly. And
but my issue is, I said this 6 months ago when the war started, I said, there's nuclear weapons, a bunch of high-tech ones in Pakistan. They're going to do an umbrella, probably with Turkey, Saudi Arabia. Notice there's a secret deal with Saudi Arabia that I knew about. And now that's happened, and now Syria's about to join it, so Israel's bombing it. Doesn't Israel see they've bitten off more than they can chew?
So it would seem as though Israel's intentions are clear, and therefore the Arab nations should unite against them. But there's certain problems. Okay? The first is these Arab nations have conflicts of interest. So, for example, Saudi Arabia sees the Houthis as a greater threat than the Israelis, right? So I could see Saudi Arabia and Israelis working together to attack the Houthis. And I think this Mecca accord between Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan, it is possible they want to set up a multinational coalition to fight against the Houthis. Because from a Saudi Arabia perspective, the Houthis represent a far greater threat.
Absolutely. They're bombing them. But we know that. But I'm saying the fact that Saudi Arabia has now run and activated the defense umbrella with Pakistan shows they figure out Israel's triple game.
There's an argument. I'm not sure if you heard of this argument, but certain Arab nations, specifically Saudi Arabia and the UAE, they're run by crypto Jews. I'm not sure if you come across.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Across, yeah.
Well, definitely the investments are mixed.
Yeah, yeah. So you could.
Well, Britain did set up the Saudis and put them in charge.
That's right. That's right. So the history is.
The Rothschilds put them in charge.
Basically. So
it's a long-term game.
It's a long-term game, and
I'm saying Saudi Arabia is showing signs of balking at that.
Because it is not in the best interest of Saudi Arabia to work with Israel. They see what Israel is doing throughout the Middle East. They understand that, according to the Greater Israel Project, Saudi Arabia is next, along with Turkey and Egypt. But at the same time, we cannot underestimate the impact of Mossad And its ability to co-opt and infiltrate these governments throughout the Middle East.
And I want to go through this because it's wheels within wheels, plans within plans. But in general, I want to go to this Wesley Clark clip because it's always important to see that. That's just an extension of Clean Break. But I want to go big picture, Russia war, you know, all this and where you see it going, how it's going for this coalition of the Rothschilds is what I would call it. Because we can talk about that particular group of rabbinics. They're kind of just a propagandist, in my view.
Yeah.
It's important to look at them. But just in general, how is the war going for them?
For the Rothschilds, for these people, the Messianic Jews, the war is going according to plan, right? Because right now, the United States, Iran are being destroyed by this war. And it seems that both can't get out of this war. The United States can only continue to escalate. And
by the way, Smotrich, the economic minister, says this, so it's not your opinion.
Yeah, that's right. And
why would he say that? Just
it's all going according to plan. The plan is for the United States and Iran to destroy each other. And once these two nations destroy each other, Israel will emerge as a de facto power in the Middle East.
And notice Iran won't even hit Israel now.
That's right. Yeah, it's a very strange situation where Iran is focusing most of its fury on the UAE, on Saudi Arabia,
but
on
you know the CIA kind of opened the door. They opened the door to Ayatollah Khomeini coming in 1979. So you talk about Saudi Arabia being secretly involved. I sometimes wonder about Iran's part of it.
Yes. Again, this plan has been in motion for hundreds of years, and it's accelerated these past 40 years. But they've been planning this for hundreds of years.
And while we're talking about messianic delusions by Israel, the mullahs got their own 12th imam, the Christian Zionists. This is demonic.
So what is really dangerous is that because the United States have decapitated the Iranian leadership, new religious zealots are emerging in the IRGC, and these people are definitely messianic and eschatological.
These are the veterans of the Iran-Iraq war.
That's right. That's right. And so what's been happening is
they were like teenagers in a war of total death.
That's right. So
aren't pussies.
That's right. Both in Israel and Iran, the religious fanatics are assuming power. So my question is,
it sounds like Dune.
It is doing exactly. It is.
Speak to that.
It's prophecy being fulfilled.
Missionary protectorate, the setup.
That's right. So the idea of Dune is the Ben Gesserit have been implanting stories throughout the Middle East, and these stories are messianic. They're eschatological, and they basically embed themselves in the human imagination. And they're like movies, right? When you watch Star Wars, you want to be Luke Skywalker. Well, when they hear these stories of the coming of the Messiah, the War of Gog and Magog, it excites them and it energizes them.
By the way, did you know that Frank Herbert was a top CIA analyst? That's not known, I just revealed it, but also a top Republican speechwriter. That is revealed. So he tells you in that book what they're doing, and they're literally, it's telling you there's this big galactic war with the Empire, and it all centers around the Middle East. They're like telling you. He wrote a few essays admitting it. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So this war in the Middle East, it is definitely eschatological. So Trump said that, you know, the United States is attacking Iran to prevent Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. But why is it on the first day of the war, February 28th, you would assassinate the Ali Khamenei, who was the main person blocking Iran?
I have a clip of Netanyahu saying, kill them, they'll fall, though all the Pentagon studies said it would make them even stronger.
Right.
So Israel did that to commit us to a quagmire.
That's right. But my question is, why kill the Ayatollah Khamenei, who issued a religious fatwa saying that
nukes.
We will never use nukes. We will never develop nukes, and we will never use nukes.
And now they've changed it.
Well, now you forced them to change it because not only did you kill their Ayatollah, but you're also attacking them, and you're threatening to use nukes on them, right? So it's almost like you are pushing them to develop their nukes.
So they're forcing the U.S. into a nuclear attack.
Well, it seems that way.
That's evil.
Well, from their perspective, this is all accelerationism because this is all part of God's plan. God does things for God's reason. We will never know why God does things, but if we are to show true faith in God, then we'll accelerate his plan in order to minimize human suffering.
And if you agree with that particular rabbi, I thought it was the Messiah, said, he said, we trick God, we're better than God, so they believe they're in control of God.
I think they believe they are just fulfilling God's mission. I think they think that they are just promoting
God's agenda. Well, I'll hand it to them. It's definitely, they're definitely about to get us all killed. I mean, great job.
This war will destroy the global economy. And one thing that is very important.
Oh, you predicted that a couple of years ago. It would happen. Now we're here. So that, yeah, what's happening currently?
So the war in the Middle East, it is causing a chain of events that are collapsing the global economy. So one place to watch is Japan. Their yen has been collapsing. And the reason why is investors feel that with this war in the Middle East, Japan cannot access cheap energy, and therefore the Japanese economy is in for tough times.
And you know what they did the last time that happened?
Yeah, yeah. Well, their only option is to sell U.S. treasuries. But if you sell U.S. treasuries, then that would collapse the American economy, specifically the AI bubble as well as the private credit bubble, right? Because there are two main sources of liquidity for the U.S. economy. They are Japan and they are the GCC. Both are under strain, which means that they can no longer purchase U.S. treasuries, which forces the
treasury to bail it out.
Right. Well, I mean, right now the United States is $40 trillion in debt. The only way to get people to buy more U.S. treasuries is if you increase the interest rate. But if you increase the interest rate, you make the debt unsustainable. You cannot pay off the interest payments.
Dead right. So the chickens are coming home to roost. There's nowhere left to go.
We are seeing the collapse of the global economy, and it's a chain of events. So not only are we seeing the collapse of the U.S. dollar as global reserve currency, but we're also seeing fertilizer and oil being cut off from the world. Right now, the human population is about 8 billion people, and by itself, the Earth can only sustain 2 billion people. And we use fertilizer to make up the difference. So if Africa is no longer able to access fertilizer from the Middle East, then you're going to have starvation, famine in the Middle East.
And then giant migrant flows.
Well, we're already seeing that with Ceuta in Spain, right? 50,000 young Moroccans were able to access Ceuta. And if there's famine in Africa, we can imagine that you have millions and millions of Africans.
So now let's go to break. Come back, my friend, and let's talk about what comes next. You predicted all of this, and now we're here. They're saying 50 million Africans are set to hit Europe starting next year in the UN zone actuaries. What is that going to do? All hell has broken loose. Stay with us. The atrazine generators have been destroyed. Bring in the water filters.
Releasing the water filters.
This is a good start, but we're going to need 1,000 more of these bad boys.
Thank you, Alex. Let the oceans be cleansed of this monstrous chemical.
They wanted to download my brain, but I downloaded theirs. It reversed all their demonic globalist plan. Team Humanity! AlexJonesStore.com.
weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Fashion media. John Sway Gene is our guest here. This is a short segment. Some stations don't carry it. It'll be with us for another hour after this. So, big picture, and I want to drill through it, go to these other clips you sent us. You already said it, but who are the power blocks? What do you expect? What comes next? You say everything's going according to plan. Well, the plan continues. What do we see happen?
Right. So there are different secret societies out there, and they're affiliated with different religious movements, right? So you have the Freemasons in the United States. You have the Sabbatean Frankists and the Chabad Lubavitch in Israel. You have the Jesuits in Europe. You have the Orthodox Church in Russia. And they have their own distinct prophecies. And what we're seeing is the manifestation, the expression of all these prophecies manifesting in geopolitics. So Russia has a third Rome prophecy. The United States is trying to create the technate, and we can talk more about artificial intelligence and what that means for the United States. In the Middle East, it is really the war of Gog and Magog that is expressing itself. So one thing to watch out for that might happen very soon is a conflict over the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. And what I want to show you now is maybe clip number 6. And this is Peter Hegseth before he became war secretary.
Pledging himself to this messianic situation.
That's right. So he's in Jerusalem, and this is the year 2018, and it's a conference in Jerusalem. And he's talking about how Israel is a miracle, and it's all part of God's plan. And what God calls for is the building of the third temple.
This is really him auditioning for the job.
Basically, yes.
So here is Hegseth. Pledging himself, not just as a Zionist believing Israel should exist, not against Israel existing, pledging himself to this messianic plan. Here it is.
Jerusalem. And today, Jennifer and I and others had a chance to go see the Western Wall of the Temple Mount, the Western Wall tunnels, so much of the Old City. And as you stand there, you can't help but behold the miracle before you. And it got me thinking about another miracle that I hope all of you don't see too far away. Because 1917 was a miracle. 1948 was a miracle. 1967 was a miracle. 2017, the declaration of Jerusalem as the capital, was a miracle. And there's no reason why the miracle of the reestablishment of the temple on the Temple Mount is not possible.
The game plan is to build a third temple, which would require the destruction of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and this would usher in the War of Gog and Magog, a war.
And they've already built the platform. They've already test-killed heifers.
So they have the red heifers in place. The red heifers were engineered in Texas, and then they were shipped over to Israel. They needed perfect red heifers without any blemish, and they have that. There's something called the Temple Institute, which has built brick by brick the third temple. It's already built. They just have to move it into place. There have been rumors that the Israelis have been conducting archaeological surveys under the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and people speculate that they're planting bombs for controlled demolition. So,
well, I've seen Knesset members say, while Iran bombards us, we should blow up the Al-Aqsa Mosque to get a civil war with the Muslims. Well, the Muslims are going to blame Israel.
possibly, but it could also work.
Well, yeah, but not when you brag about it.
It's all in the open, but for whatever reason, things tend to go Israel's way. This is one of the great mysteries where the evidence has been out in the public for a long, long time.
Well, that goes to their argument that it's of God then.
Exactly. That's right. So, again, they believe that Israel is a miracle. Everything that's happening is not because of their manipulations. It's because God has willed it.
So, but that leads to, I would say, the delusion of success.
Exactly. Exactly. So, right now, I would say,
if you look at the history of Israel, though, it all crashes down over and over again.
Exactly. So,
the confidence. Bill, stay there. Let's come back right back then, sir.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
And I want to shift gears into Russia and all the other things. It's all interconnected. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Share the live feeds now. And Real Alex Jones, folks. This is Power. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to Freedom Rx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed three. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it. But going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There are so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant, your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This information we cover is not number one, it's everything. This is not some political genre. This is a fight for civilization and our very lives. You hear all these movies about coaches and stuff get out there and win, and they all care, and they come together, and it's triumphant. That's for a game. But we recognize that because we're supposed to be able to come together and do great things. So the system goes, oh, you go out and do a children's thing. You go out and play a sport. That's where you put your manhood. That's who we honor. That's who we admire. Then they even take that away from you and put men and women sports. It's all about taking every human institution and destroying it.
That was sweet, huh? Did you like that? Yeah!
So you watch these coaches in games, especially the playoffs, and they're just, oh, they're all, everybody looks at the coach. That's good. It's how a man's supposed to act. He really cares. He's got the numbers, the facts. He knows the other side. He's on the ball. Because you're supposed to do that in life and business and culture and health and with your relationship with God. You're supposed to act like that about the real world, like Trump and Elon Musk are. Instead, these evil little nerds who weren't in the cool club and hate everybody, and they love passive-aggressive murder. It thrills them to know they're growing spike protein in everyone and killing everyone and making money off of it while they do it. And we're too stupid to figure it out. And you look at that photo with Fauci, like holding Hotez. And Hotez, he's on TV, like, he'll be 11 new pandemics. Trump will have it crashing down. He won't stop us. Your children need more shots. You don't think they don't know what it's doing? They did it on purpose. And so you've seen FBI chief counsel in Connecticut go, yeah, we wouldn't start the lawsuits on Jones. You've seen the CIA, FBI undercover videos. We're like, yeah, we couldn't take him out criminally. We investigated him and found out he didn't do anything wrong. And yeah, under, you know, national security. So we went and set all this up and ran PR about him and demonized him with stuff he never did so we could then do this. They did that to America. They did that to families. They did that to God. They did that to X and Y chromosome. They're attacking it all because it's in the way of their devilish plan. It's to kill, steal, and destroy.
Alex Jones, tomorrow's news today.
Corporation. I'm funded by you. They're the very best products that really work that are amazing at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have, it's about to end, a bottle of ultramethylene blue discounted that does incredible things. We have the best medical grade with a free bottle of ultramethylene red that's a proprietary product that turbocharges everything that methylene blue does, but works great by itself to clean out your cells, give you incredible energy. You're really missing out if you don't get it. Our information is incredible. Our products are incredible. We have a 90-plus percent reorder rate on these products. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. Wide selection of Patriot apparel, all sorts of great tactical bags, Faraday cages, fanny packs. We're about to sell out. So the next tranche came in. It had sold out. We got the second tranche of the American 250th Anniversary coin. It's all at thealexjonesstore.com. And I can only do this because of you. So when you thank me, I'm thanking you for keeping us in the fight. So that's what it's all about. Thank you for your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. You can also get Minbenzidol with ivermectin, medical grade, from a pharmacist right now at 1776RX.health. 1776RX.health. It doesn't just deal with parasites. It does so much more. Do your research on what is Minbenzidol associated with, what is ivermectin associated with, and why the system doesn't want you to know about it. Get it right now. True medical grade that you know is pure and clean. It's incredible things. 1776RX.health. So, getting back to this, now that we've gone over this main power block, who are the other power blocks? Where, you know, you say it's going according to plan, but Trump's about to lose the midterms. He makes statements that are deliberate. I don't care about Americans' peril economically. I only care about war. We don't care about $20 burritos. What are you expecting to happen? How does this unfold? Because you can say it's going according to plan, chaos, destruction, wider wars, but it's so dangerous. I mean, for the functionaries like Trump, I don't see it as going well. How do you see this unfolding? Russia's saying they're getting ready to hit NATO targets because that's where the weapons are being produced. Very serious reports coming out on that. Bigger picture, what do you foresee, and what are your newest predictions? You've been so accurate in the past.
Right. So if we just zoom out and look at other major conflicts around the globe. We go to Ukraine, right? So Russia is fighting Ukraine. And one thing to appreciate about this war is that it's also eschatological. Russia has something called a Third Rome Prophecy, which is promoted by the Orthodox Church. And the idea of the Third Rome Prophecy is that Moscow is the heir to the Roman Empire. First there was Rome, then there was Constantinople, and then there is Moscow, the Third Rome. And Moscow.
And I see them say that. So everybody has their own end of world thing.
That's right. That's right. And Moscow will be the third and final Rome. So once Moscow ascends, then history will end. So the game plan is for Russia to fight NATO in Odessa. Odessa will be the last stand of NATO, because if Odessa were to fall, Ukraine would become a rump state. It would be landlocked, and all the resources, all the industry are actually in eastern Ukraine. Western Ukraine would become a welfare state of the European Union. So Odessa will be the final stand. And already we're seeing movements of Russia towards Odessa. What the prophecy says is that eventually at some point, Turkey will join NATO in the war, and Turkey will blockade the Bosphorus, which will lock Russia into the Black Sea. And this will force Russia to attack Turkey, and Turkey will fall, and then the Russians will bring the Greeks back to Constantinople, which is modern-day Istanbul. And once that happens, then the Orthodox world will unite behind the leadership of Moscow.
Israel has its greater project. Russia has its greater project,
That's
Russian
right.
Federation.
That's right.
The Christian Zionists think they're forcing the Jews to come to Jesus, but this isn't happening. This is, and I see the Russians saying that. What you're saying is true. It's just wild. And then you have Israel saying Turkey's the next attack. Now they're bombing them in Syria, their troops.
That's right.
Trying to push into that. They're just a breakneck desire to get to full war.
That's right. And what's really interesting is that the Third Rome Prophecy and the Greater Israel Project do not actually conflate. In fact, they align because both call for the partition of Turkey. So it's entirely possible that Russia and Israel work together to partition Turkey, where Russia attacks from the north and Israel attacks from the south. Because Russia wants Constantinople and Israel wants southern Anatolia. And there's no conflict here. And so,
what about Pakistan threatening a nuclear umbrella?
Pakistan does have an agreement with Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure how effective that will be because Pakistan, it is heavily infiltrated by the CIA. So I'm not sure if Pakistan will actually.
Sure, the CIA gave them the nukes.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they will use nuclear weapons in a time of war.
We should revisit, in your opinion, why was Pakistan allowed to get nuclear weapons by the West?
What do you know
about it? That was a hedge against China, but they ended up basically allying with them and India, and now that alliance is broken down.
Right, right. I don't know much about why Pakistan has nuclear weapons. I assume it was a response to India having nuclear weapons.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and trying to create balance in South Asia. Yeah.
But also as a hedge with China, but it hasn't worked. So I'm just saying that's the wild card is Pakistan for me.
Right. For me, the wild card is North Korea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They've said they'll nuke Israel if they hit Iran.
North Korea is very belligerent, and it is ascended. It has 10,000.
I agree. Why do you think Trump is groveling to Kim Jong-un right now?
Because from a geopolitical perspective, it is in the best interest of the United States to create balance of power in East Asia. So right now the dominant power in East Asia is China. And what Trump wants to do is extricate himself from East Asia. Because right now, unfortunately, America, the United States, provides security guarantees for all nations in East Asia.
So that's ending the Asian pivot of 18 years ago and saying we're going to do war games against North Korea and moving the last carrier to the Middle East. That's quite a reversal of policy.
That's right. But it's strategic because if you think about it, if the United States withdraws from East Asia, that forces Japan to work with India, the Philippines, and Australia to control and contain both China and North Korea. And
so Trump's handing responsibility.
Basically, because the United States is right now overextended. It's imperial overstretched.
So it's really a retreat from China.
It's not a retreat from China. It's basically trying to create balance of power.
But it sounds like a build down.
Before the United States was responsible for the security of Taiwan. So if China were to attack Taiwan, the United States had to intervene. And unfortunately, right now, the United States is stuck in the Middle East. It's also committed to Ukraine. But if the United States were to withdraw from East Asia, that forces Japan to provide security guarantees to Taiwan.
No, I agree. But here's the key. Why did Trump say last week he's leaving NATO, whether it's talk or not? He's worried Russia, I think, is going to hit targets. He doesn't want to be drawn in by the article on that. But at the same time, that kind of green lights it. So he's going to withdraw from the South China Sea and withdraw from Europe. We do see a focus on Latin America, where we're having great success reversing socialism and communism.
Right. So if you look at the national defense.
Well, it really is a hemispheric withdrawal.
If you look at the national defense strategy, which was published by the Pentagon in January of this year, it calls for the United States withdrawing from providing security guarantees for the world and transfer responsibility to its regional allies. Right. So rather than the United States confront Russia in Europe, NATO will confront Russia in Europe, rather than the United States confront China in East Asia, let Japan do it. And rather than...
No, I agree, but NATO and Japan don't have the strength to do that.
From a long-term U.S. strategic perspective, you don't need NATO to defeat Russia. You don't need Japan to defeat China. You just need to create balance of power.
I agree. And China has just said, tell me if you think this is a real statement, just stop recognizing Taiwan and we'll pull back. We'll take it over politically. So is
right. But Japan, the Prime Minister Takayuki, has said on multiple occasions that Taiwan is core to the strategic interests of Japan, meaning that if China were to reunify with Taiwan, China could embargo Japan from the Southeast, from Southeast Asia. And historically, Japan has perceived Southeast Asia as a resource colony because Japan doesn't have its own resources. So Japan is committed to defending Taiwan.
What is China, from your perspective, real posture towards Japan?
China sees Japan as the greatest threat to its long-term stability.
Because of the old ancient beefs, or?
Exactly. So both struggle for hegemony throughout Southeast Asia. Historically, China has perceived Vietnam, Korea as tributary states of the Chinese Empire. And Japan, because it is resource poor, it requires the resources of Korea and Vietnam.
Sure. So what will Japan do now they're put back in the same position as World War II, pre-World War II?
Great question. So Japan will first remilitarize.
And what they're doing.
Which is what they're doing. They will also build alliances for our.
Well, I'm told they've got secret nuclear weapons.
It is possible. It is possible. But I
mean, yeah, you think they can't build a nuclear weapon?
It would not be hard for Japan to build nuclear weapons.
Remember like 20 years ago, they had a blow up at a plant that was supposedly for car parts, and they found all these like literal samurais in there mixing uranium with their hands. Remember that?
I don't remember that. But again, it would not be hard for Japan to build a nuclear weapon. It would take them exactly 6 weeks to build a nuclear weapon. So Japan would also build alliances throughout Southeast Asia, and it would use proxies to confront China. So if you look at the stuff China see, the Philippine Coast Guard and the Chinese Coast Guard are using water cannons against each other. And we can imagine that this conflict won't increase over time as Japan tries to embargo China.
And why is China building those sand islands?
China is trying to create trade independence, right? So the great fear is that the United States would embargo China. And as you know, China is an export-oriented
trade economy. Trade of Malacca.
The Strait of Malacca, exactly, right? So it's called the Strait of Malacca dilemma for China because it's very easy for the United States to close off the Strait of Malacca, in which case China would lose a third of its oil and a quarter of its food. Its population
would
fall.
But the Pentagon's own reports say even if we had all our missiles, a conventional war with China, as we saw in Korea, is not going to go well.
That's right. And that's why the United States is offloading its responsibilities, its security responsibilities, to Japan, Australia, Philippines.
So they're being handed the bag.
Basically, yes. Basically, that is the strategy, yes.
What do you think China's going to do?
China will activate North Korea, right? Because
it's always been the detonator.
That's right. Because if North Korea threatens to lob missiles into the Sea of Japan, there's nothing Japan can do about it. You know, Seoul is 20 minutes away from North Korean artillery. In a day, North Korea with its artillery could flatten Seoul. So North Korea holds both Japan and South Korea hostage. Also remember, North Korea has nuclear weapons. So
what is the real Chinese-North Korean relationship?
So China and North Korea have a mutual defense pact. And China only has a mutual defense pact with North Korea. So China sees itself as a big brother to North Korea.
And the war was never ended. It's still
going on.
It's paused.
That's right. Technically,
the U.S. is still at war with China because that was a proxy war.
That's right.
So then what is Trump doing placating Kim Jong-un when really China controls him?
Because Trump doesn't want to be responsible for the war that might emerge in the South China Sea, right?
Which is wise.
I think it's very smart. So
then why does he think he's wise closing the Strait of Hormuz?
So I think, again, what's happening in Iran, in the Middle East, it is an eschatological war.
It goes back to the cult.
It goes back to the cult.
So how do we deal with the solutions? What do we do about these crazy people? The Christian Zionists, the crazy Jews, not all of them, you know, not all the Persians, but their leaders. They're all just completely cuckoo. I mean, in my view, you don't operate this stuff out of 2,000-year-old fights. It's retarded.
So for decades, for centuries, they have been implementing their plan very slowly. And now that they are on the cusp of triumph, now that they are about to achieve their final victory, they've developed hubris. They become arrogant. They become insular. You just look at how the Israelis are behaving around the world, in Argentina, in Greece. It's causing the entire world to want to unite against Israel. So I don't think their plan will work out. I think eventually their plans will fall apart. So
I agree, though, but will it claw us into the grave with them? People are like, oh, why don't you just be more anti-Israel? Have you looked ahead? This is going to be disastrous. This is super gambling. You're not supposed to gamble with nuclear weapons and gamble with the world economy.
Well, from their perspective, once they achieve their plan, then there'll be peace on earth. God will come, and we'll achieve paradise in heaven on earth. So
yeah, let's show B-roll that rabbi, clip three, clip two. The whole world is riding on this crazy person telling Netanyahu that they're going to make the Messiah come. This is bullshit. I mean, this is insane. Sorry, go ahead, sir.
No, but I mean, the problem is that they really believe it. And from their perspective, everything has worked out because God has willed it. How is it possible for this persecuted cult from the Soviet Union, how is it possible for them to now emerge as one of the most powerful religious movements in the world?
Because the Rothschilds already like it.
How did the Rothschilds become so powerful? How is it possible for this
movement? So what do we just salute this and then get behind it and all be slaves, as the rabbis say?
Well, I think...
Is there any way to bypass their nuclear war? Do we just bow down now, or what do we do?
I think a lot of what they do...
Because, you know, everybody's not going to bow down. Like,
right, exactly, right? I think a lot of what they do is predicated on us not recognizing what they're doing. And so I think that if we build global awareness, I think that once we recognize what their intent is, and once more of us start to speak up, then the plans will fall apart. That's why I think building awareness, doing what you're doing, is so important.
Well, everything you said is true. It's on record times 1,000. It is crazy to be in the hands of a bunch of religious zealots. The Muslims, by the way, Iran's being very belligerent because they think they hold the cards. They're fully committed. Their whole Shiite religion is based there. I guess it is God's hand that you've got a bunch of crazy religious zealots on every angle who are committed to this.
So you can make the argument that God's real plan is not to achieve the Greater Israel Project, to have the Messiah come. God's real plan is to help us awaken, help us achieve a spiritual enlightenment. And so once we recognize that this world is run by crazy people, by psychopaths, which it really is, then we as individuals, what are we forced to do? We're forced to reckon.
Introspect them.
We're forced to ask ourselves, what can we do? And the answer is, what we can do is start having more start doing spiritual practice. Start being more connected with God.
I truly agree. We're being forced by facing evil to wake up and actually realize this is a good and evil fight, and God is forcing us to activate that.
That's right. That's right. And so you can say this is God's real plan, to force a spiritual awakening among humanity.
Because if we don't, we're dead.
Yes, that's right.
So you say it's the end of the world. We'll come back in the final segment, but let's talk about what the end of the world means. End of the world as we know it.
Yeah.
We played a promo at the start of last night's show. It's like a little end of the world as we know it with the world leader singing. I want to play that when we come in. That's from yesterday's list. Powerful. I'm very impressed with your work. Really appreciate it. Where do they find your work again?
So I'm on Substack and YouTube, Predictive History.
Predictive History.
Yep.
All right. What amazing information. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm at Real Alex Jones on X and at AlexJonesLive.com. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I get a little busy around here fighting the globalist, but I noticed a couple weeks ago on our product shelf here at the Alex Jones Network studios, this huge bag, Superfood Greens Gummies. So I called Bigley and I said, well, what are these? Well, they're a private label of a top concentrated green gummy maker. And then I talked to them more and they said, yeah, we're selling for about half price what anybody else does. And we decided to make it the biggest bag and the most of these you get anywhere. So if you're a subscriber, you get it for 50. It's like $69 if you're not. They sell this very same product for $50 a bottle that's half the size of this. That's the group we private label it from. It's sold in major stores. Now, this has every vitamin, every mineral. It's got a bunch of super enzymes, a bunch of high-tech probiotics. It's just crazy. We'll show you the label on the back of the blow-up. Now, obviously, I've already been eating out of this, but only a few of the packets. Take a look at this, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so these are daily doses here. There's 30 of these, but this is a massive dose. This is 7 gummies in each one. So technically, you could really go, for me, 2 months on this, because this has more nutrients, more good stuff in it than a big old giant salad with all sorts of vegetables on it. All these are concentrated. Just look at that, ladies and gentlemen. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is amazing. They taste great. They're really strong, though. It's let it dissolve in your mouth for better absorption, and it funds their operation. They've also got the same gummies for kids that are tailored for them. So be sure and check this out at thealexjonesstore.com and realize this is a win-win situation for everybody. Because even if you're eating big salads and vegetables all day, a lot of it's caught up in the fiber of it, which is great for your guts, but you don't absorb it all. With these, it's concentrated. You get way higher levels of absorption, especially if you let it dissolve in your mouth. And then it funds our operation against the globalists as we dissolve their new world order. But be sure and check out the adult superfood green gummies and the ones for kids. But quite frankly, the ones for kids are great for adults. The ones for adults are great for kids. It's all interchangeable. And while you're on the site, check out all the other amazing items that are there, like the Shilajit. We have it in liquid. We have it in gummies. We have it in pills. The Irish Sea Moss, same thing. It's something like a regular serving of those. It's 30 grams of Irish Sea Moss, a giant bowl of it, but all concentrated. Not just the regular vitamins and minerals, but organic iodine that's so good for your body, and just a whole bunch of other amazing things. We don't sell anything that doesn't really work. And it funds our operation, a true 360 win. It's simple. I'm only going to sell you stuff that really, really works, so you want to get it again and again and again. So get your superfood green gummies for adults and children now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, be sure to become a VIP for $30 a month. You instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, and extra sales on top of everything. If you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, become a VIP and check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, some of the very best designs, t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for being the reason we're on the air. It has been your amazing support that's allowed all the success against the globalists, but we have just begun to fight. We're launching the next level of the info war at alexjoneslive.com, so be sure and check out our news site as well, and follow me on X at Real Alex Jones. But whatever you do, go now to thealexjonesstore.com and get these gummies, because they're impressive, they're amazing, and they're good for you, and they fund an operation that's good for humanity in the face of the globalist death cult, Bill Gates, and the New World Order. Thank you so much. Now take action now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Segment. Really appreciate him coming to Texas to be interviewed by us. What made you come to the United States?
Well, I wanted my son to experience the United States. He's actually in the kitchen right beside us. And I wanted to see what America would be like before the end of the world.
Describe that. You said at the start of the interview an hour and a half ago, the end of the world as we know it. What does that mean?
It means that this war is going to collapse the global economy. And what people don't appreciate is it's a global economy that makes it possible for us to have 8 billion people and for there to be peace in the world. So imagine what's going to happen over the next few years. So fertilizer is not able to get around the world. The world has lost about a quarter of the world's fertilizer. And so we should expect massive starvation throughout Africa, in which case you have resource wars, and then you have tens of millions of Africans fleeing these resource wars and going into Europe. And then Europe will fight Russia in Ukraine. The Europeans will call up a national draft. They will earmark a lot of money they don't have to the war machine, and this is going to cause massive discontent among the population. Meanwhile, their societies are being bombarded by these migrants, these tens of millions of migrants, and then you will have civil war and political revolution throughout Europe, especially as inflation, as gas prices start to overwhelm consumers. In the United States, Trump becomes overcommitted in Iran. He's forced to call up a national draft, and this national draft will cause of civil discontent throughout the United States. I think the midterms will be heavy contested.
And by the way, you said the draft was coming a few years ago. Now the Israeli operatives they put in Kentucky and places to take over Massey are saying we got to get the draft ready. It's already programmed to go in December by law. People can't even face this. This is really, the preparations are all there.
That's right. That's right. And now in the United States, we're also seeing the rise of the surveillance state. So yesterday we took a Waymo. And Waymo is going to eventually replace Uber drivers. You've got flock cameras over the place.
Well, Austin's the main testing ground. There's like robot cars everywhere.
Exactly, exactly. But not just Austin, Los Angeles. There are way more Waymo cars. So it seems like they have a plan, and they're going to implement this plan regardless of the consequences for the economy and for the society in general. You'll have a major conflict arise in the in East Asia. North Korea and Taiwan will be the two major flashpoints. Japan will build an alliance against China, and China and this will also disrupt global supply chains because China provides a lot.
So let's be clear, though. You make this point. I know this is a fact. People think Trump crashing the economy and doing all this is a mistake. He's going along with the larger plan for the Great Reset by economic warfare and to create all these global crises, food shortages, all of it, for the central banks to come in and offer their central bank digital currency as the answer. So who are the major power blocks? And through this crisis, what are they going to try to roll out?
That's right. You have to burn things down in order for you to create the control grid. It's too expensive. It's too cumbersome. There's so much resistance if you do it now. But once things burn down, once the population is so scarred by poverty, by depression, they will welcome the AI control grid, right? So you go back to the 1930s, the Great Depression and those years of mass unemployment. People welcome the New Deal. People welcome government oversight. People welcome World War II. They want to go fight in Europe and in Japan.
And now Trump is accelerating all of this for the debt. It's getting bigger ever than under him. The Treasury Secretary monetizes debt. We said it would fail. It failed by design. Where is all? I mean, what's the time frame here? Because it looks like it's imminent.
It is imminent, and I think that's why they're not that concerned about the midterms, because the midterms are going to impact the larger picture.
And Trump's now totally in alignment. Do you think he was always in alignment with the establishment, or did he seem like he flipped 4 months into the last administration, or maybe he just uncloaked himself?
I think he flipped. I think the turning point was
I agree with you, because it was legitimate resistance before. He flipped at some point.
In his first term, he was totally against war. He wanted to withdraw troops from Syria. The Pentagon refused to follow his orders. But the Pentagon and the military establishment, the deep state, they were trying to overthrow Trump because Trump was committed to no more wars. And
now he's in alignment.
And that's why he'll probably get a third term. Because
let's speak to that. He's putting out on Truth Social every day, he's a king. I will win in 2028. His surrogates do it. It looks, the only thing close to it is North Korean propaganda for their dictators. I mean, it is sick.
If these people are serious about implementing their global reset, they need someone like Trump to be the scapegoat, to be the chaos agent, to spread.
And just like Roosevelt, he gets a third term.
I think he's going to get a third term. I think he will get a third term because there's no alternative.
And you said that about a year ago, the first time I saw it. Maybe you said it earlier, before he even was really pushing it.
Yeah.
Well, give us your more predictions then.
I think Trump's is going to get a third term. And I think that once he gets his third term, there are certain things he will do in order to consolidate his power. The first thing he will do is create his own private military force, right? So think of ICE, but now under the control of Trump. That's the first thing. Second thing
is... ICE is the cover for a domestic federal force.
That's right. Completely loyal to Trump and only Trump. Second thing is you will see the United States colonize North America, Canada, Greenland, Iceland, Venezuela, Mexico.
Those aren't jokes.
Those are not jokes. And the reason why is once he gets a third term, there's going to be a lot of domestic opposition towards him. And so what he can do is he can use these colonies to bribe powerful factions. Right. So let's give Venezuela to ExxonMobil. Now, ExxonMobil is completely dependent on Trump. Let's give the Alberta tar sands to Chevron. Right. So he's basically colonizing.
He's a king handing away stuff to viceroys.
That's right. That's right. And that way he can lessen domestic opposition.
So it really is imperial behavior. So he really is a king, whether he's not officially or not.
Right. And then the third thing is you know about the Trump's ballroom, right? He keeps talking about the ballroom.
Big underground base.
It's a big underground data center. If you look at the contractors...
Well, it's a commando for the whole thing.
That's right.
So I wanted to ask you, that's on my list. So what is this... The U.S. already has more data centers than everybody else in the world. What is this saying? You don't get energy, you don't get food, but these things get 100 times. You have Eric Schmidt of Google saying we need 100 times the power for these. What the hell is going on?
It's AI control grid. It's a bring in digital ID and digital currency so that everyone can be monitored and everyone can be categorized.
And only the U.S. will have the technocracy to implement it globally. That's why the race.
That's right. That's right.
So how does China fit into that? Because I know China until about 17 years ago was allied with the globals, at least on the surface. What was the break there, or was there a break? And what is China doing? Is it seen as the main competitor, at least in the technocracy?
China right now is trying to maintain sovereignty, right? Because, as you point out, 20 years ago, China was very much part of this new global order. And the globalists had control China. Then you have President Xi coming to power, and he was very insistent on promoting national sovereignty.
And say what you want about him. He's definitely, that's a real break.
That's right. That's right.
Soros loved him before, now he calls him Hitler.
That's right. And that's why you have this trade war initiated, because President Xi refused to surrender financial sovereignty, right? Because Wall Street wanted to come in and control China's financial markets. They want basically access to 40% to China's savings, which is 40% of their income.
So what are the globalists doing to punish China? What happens?
Well, they initiate the trade war. They try to embargo China. They try to cut China off from the global market in order to destabilize the government. But the Chinese government has proven to be much more resilient. And so what we should expect next month when President Xi visits Washington, D.C., is a compromise, a detente, because right now both China and the United States benefit from the global order.
So you're predicting a deal?
I'm predicting a deal, a detente, yes.
The problem is every time Trump takes a deal, he isn't even really in charge. He gets double-crossed.
Right, but...
That's why nobody takes these deals serious.
Right, but I think China, because of the strain on its economy, it is willing to make a major deal.
What will the deal entail?
Basically, Wall Street gains access to the Chinese financial markets through digital currency. So China will not liberalize its currency because everyone will just flee to U.S. dollars.
Does that mean letting rating agencies come in?
It basically means letting the United States, through its financial services company like J.P. Morgan, sell digital currency in China. So
China's going to be forced back into the wedding.
That's right. That's right. So basically, you can
see. You're predicting Xi Jinping is going to at least slow down or shift China's pull away from the globalists.
Yes. So I think what's going to happen is that China will allow consumers to buy U.S. treasuries through the digital currency. And that will be the grand compromise that China makes.
Okay, well, if you look at record treasuries being dumped, half of them being monetized by the Treasury, that looks like the globalists are losing, but I guess it's best house about neighborhood. You're saying China's even worse? Or what's happening there that would make them? Because to me, on the surface, with the Iran war and all, it doesn't look like it's going well, but you're saying it is.
Chinese consumers are not spending any money. There is no consumer confidence right now in China. So China is completely export-oriented economy.
So they want a closure of the fight.
Yeah, they want Chinese consumers to start spending money.
So are you saying the globalists are winning the war on China?
I feel that right now China is under a lot of strain. And they need to make a deal.
But so is the West. But you've noticed our elites just don't care.
China is under a lot more strain than the West.
What happens with Russia and Ukraine?
I think the final stand will be Odessa. Russia will conscript millions of more troops, and they will fight Europe in Odessa. NATO will make its last stand in Odessa, and this will.
My Russian sources say they're preparing a massive invasion
of Odessa.
The whole they're saying, but they don't. You notice Zelensky's got big problems, though. They're calling for elections. Things are falling apart. The Russians are making gains. I mean, yeah, the Russians, I'm told, are about to go full tilt. Before, it was a special military action or security action.
That's right.
They're saying they're getting ready to really go in.
Yeah, they have not yet declared war on Ukraine. Once they do, then that will allow them for total war and conscription. Yeah.
And the big question is, will NATO double down and go directly to war with Russia, which I don't see NATO as the forces to do. The average European's not ready to be drafted.
Yeah, but NATO has suffered from sunk cost fallacy, so they've already invested billions of dollars into this war. And because the European elite, they live in a bubble.
Oh, I agree.
They don't recognize how the war's progressing. They think they're winning the war. They think that, you know.
That's how you get a nuclear war.
That's right.
Illusion.
That's right. That's right. So.
How can Russia get Europe to realize they've lost?
They can't. Because Brussels. They have all their heads in the sand. It's like sure. It's like World War One.
What's your intel on the number of North Korean troops in the war?
So North Korea has at least 10,000 troops in Ukraine, and North Korea plans to send about 30,000 more over the next couple of years.
But I've heard in support, North Korea is mobilized for Russia.
Right now, North Korea has become a subsidiary of the Russian military. So it's the North Koreans that produce a lot of...
In a way, China was the main... But Russia, more and more, that was involved in the founding of it, is like really coming in.
That's right. That's right. So we're seeing North Korean economy boom because of the war. So North Korea produced a lot of weaponry for the Russians, and they also provide a lot of supplies, and they're also supplying a lot of soldiers.
We don't see what's happening with the combat with the North Koreans and the NATO forces. That would be very interesting to see.
I think the North Koreans fight to the death. And the reason why is if they don't fight to the death, if they get captured and they're paraded on TV, their families back at home, you know. Yeah.
I tell you, what a disaster. It's absolutely. So would you agree with me that we're already in a world war? The question is, it's undeclared, and how bad will it get?
I think we're already in a world war, but I think people are wrong to say it's World War III. I think this is the collapse of civilization. I think this is the collapse of everything that we've known for the past.
So it's a global bubble popping.
Basically, yeah.
I agree. So it's a fourth turning.
Basically, yes. It's a great reset.
In closing, what's the good advice for people out there? I would say get storable food.
I mean, the best advice is for people to become friends with their neighbors. Rather than being afraid, rather than trying to think that you can weather storm by yourself, reach out to your neighbors and try to build human relations. And what's most important is to reclaim your attention, right? So rather than spend all your time on social media doom scrolling, take walks out in nature, and God will reveal the truth to you.
Divine inspiration. I agree. If you're out in the country and you raise cows, your neighbor raises chickens, the other neighbor's a doctor, another neighbor's an electrician, and another neighbor is you've got all the skills right there of a civilization.
Yeah. So it sounds terrible, but if you put your faith in God, you'll come out of it fine.
So in closing, talk about your faith, because you said that about an hour ago, and that's the key. This is a spiritual battle forcing us back to God. What is your, you know, let me ask some private stuff, what is your spiritual belief? Did you always believe in God, or was it revealed to you, or can you, in closing, speak to that?
Yeah, so 3 years ago, I was an atheist. And all my life, I was an atheist because I'm Chinese and we're mainly atheists. But I also went to Yale, so I'm a product of the meritocracy. And I'm very secular. And, you know, for the longest time, I thought you were this nut job. So I owe you an apology. The world,
the entire world
owes you an apology. But then I had a family. And, when I hold my children, I see God's divine essence in my children.
I do too.
I can't believe that this is all just random and this all just happens by accident. I think there's intention in the universe. I think that we're all part of the divine consciousness. And having read, you know, Dante and Homer and the great books, having explored the secret societies, having studied the occult,
that's the key. The bad guys know it's spiritual.
That's right.
When you figure out they really are worshiping Satan, you know,
that's
oh,
right.
There's another side.
That's right. So the occult, the elite know
exactly.
All this.
You can't counter them without God.
That's right. The elite know all this, and that's why they're able to control the world. And to control us, they invert the truth. They tell us that the world is materialistic when it's really divine. And because we are stuck in our world and we have these false beliefs, we can be easily manipulated by them.
Beautifully said. Absolutely. We will. There's no atheists in foxholes. We're going to be forced. And I see the magic of God and God's plan. And I've been given like literal, like know something. And it's all true. I mean, that's God's. God gives us free will, but also cheats a bit. I'm not saying something bad about God. But you know what I mean? God gives us the owner's manual. Like, yeah, you got free will. But by the way, here's the cheat sheet.
Yeah. Yeah. So place your faith in God. Do what is right for yourself and for your community. And no matter what happens, you'll come out fine.
Well, I'm not trying to be mean to the Jews in general, because it goes back to the Grand Grimoires. It goes back to the Egyptians and Babylonians and all of them. But that's all pre-Christianity. But all the occult means is hidden. All of those cultures followed powerful off-world forces, demons, call them what you
that's
want,
right.
Channeling them. This is what every cult, and you can say what you want, but these elites are being given their own cheat sheet by forces that want to destroy us. We've got to transcend that and just admit that there really is God and the devil.
You're absolutely right. The elites have always behaved like this across time and space. Every culture, the elites have been doing this, and it's up to us as, we have to remember we are ultimately connected with the divine. And as long as we celebrate and appreciate this connection, then God will lead us to the truth.
Powerful. Again, predictive history?
Yes.
We're going to air that piece on the Southern Property Law Center is going to collapse the first five. I'll come back in the next hour from the other studio, hit the latest breaking news with a special guest and the geopolitical developments. But in the few minutes we have left, what else is it you want to tell millions of viewers right now?
This is a very special time in human history. This is a turning point. And ultimately, the nature of the universe is like each of us matters. And so if we choose to just do good things in life, this will elevate us, but this will also elevate the universe. So the trick to combating the globalists is not to basically take up arms and
don't get on their level.
Yeah, don't become them, okay? The way to combat the globalists is to choose the path of God, to choose the path of Jesus, to choose the path of goodness. And you do that by embarking on a life of kindness, of generosity, of forgiveness. And if you do that, then I guarantee you, you will impact the universe for the better.
Do you think Trump consciously knows what he's doing, or do you think he's just influenced and or basically possessed?
I think that Trump will surprise us. I think that for the past 10 years, Trump has been surprising everyone. I think that Trump believes he's on a divine mission, and it's a debate who he truly works for.
I said that years ago when I spiritually, at a discernment level, past all my knowledge, just focus on him with the Holy Spirit. I like see good and evil flickering. It's
that's
like
right.
A very, I've never
that's
seen
right.
Anybody else like this.
But,
and so what I'm saying is, I'm not saying I even back Trump now. I'm against what he's doing, but I don't hold out God's plan. Something in me tells me we might see a huge turn out of him.
That's right. That's right. I think that if you look at all these historical figures, they were all very complex, contradictory figures. And ultimately, it's his choice to make. But I would not be surprised if he was to surprise all of us at the end.
All right. Zhang Xuin Chin, I did it right that time?
That's right, yes.
All right. We really appreciate you. We really appreciate the time today. And we got a few minutes left before we go to break. You're going to go on Mike Adams' show next.
Yes, that's right.
Mike Adams is a great guy, very smart.
Yes.
In closing, how does AI, because it looks like the AI bubble's starting to pop. It's a whole other news item. But obviously the infrastructure it's putting in isn't popping. There's this huge investment. What do you see on the stock market in AI?
Yeah, so the AI bubble is going to burst. They've been forecasting this for a long, long time. And the reason why they wanted to burst, I'm saying these companies purposely want to burst the bubble, is that will justify government intervention, right? So OpenAI is not profitable, but let's just say the bubble bursts and the government comes in and nationalizes.
They want to nationalize it.
They want to nationalize data centers because then they offset these costs onto the public, right? So socialize the losses and privatize the gains.
So 2008 all over again.
It's completely 2008 all over again.
The people look at the giant bubble and they're like, oh, but clearly the nationalization is prepared. And Trump's already basically said it's a national security issue.
That's right. That's right.
And when do you think that's going to happen? I mean, I think it's already started.
Within the year, right? So if the nationalization happens, the government has eminent domain and no one can complain about the water and the electricity anymore. And these data centers will become essentially military installations for the control grid.
What's your next big story of predictive history?
Well, my big prediction is that Trump gets a third term. It'll be radically different from his first and his second term. And I think that we are moving towards a civil war in the United States. If Trump has a third term, I think it's almost unavoidable to have a civil war.
Let me ask you a question, and this is, I'm not going to give out the details, but I've had Trump people reaching out to me, and I basically not responded to them. You think I should reach back out to Trump?
I think you should. Yeah. I think he's getting a third term. I think his third term will be very different from his second term. And I think that he believes he's on a special mission from God. And he himself is at war, right? There are these angels and demons circling all around him. And whatever friendship that he can have will help him.
Yeah, well, I've noticed when he went back bashing people, he left me out of the last few rounds of it. It's very complex. And I just, at a certain point, I kind of want to hide here in Austin, but I'll see what happens. All right. So what's the newest story you're working on, though, at Predictive History?
So I'm going to do a series on the occult, right? So I think it's very important to educate the public on how the elite thinks. And so I want to introduce to the public the Kabbalah, Hermetic philosophy from the Egyptians, and show them how the elite controls the world.
And you know the eighth level of Kabbalah in a mainline Kabbalah book says you become, basically, you plunge into evil to transcend it. And you, it's like Darth Vader.
Redemption by sin. Redemption by sin.
No, thank you. I don't want to try that. I've already got enough problems not veering off, I tell you. Unbelievable. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks so much, Alex.
All right, it was great to meet you. It'd be great to meet your son. All right, I'm going to take a break. We're going to expose the enemy in deep trouble, so the Property Law Center under criminal investigation for their attacks on us. And I'm coming back straight ahead on geopolitics and more with Matt Bracken. Stay with us and share those live feeds, and please support us. The Alex Jones Store. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, we're on 400-plus radio stations. They don't carry the first 5 minutes. So at 6 after, we bring on the mighty Jimmy Dore. Only two men's saliva have ever been in my mouth, and one of them is Jimmy Dore. Now, I'm going to come cleaner today. It's true. I'm not joking. Wait till I explain it next segment. Like a spitting cobra. No, I love him. I love all his clips. I love the work he does. It's so great. Can't wait to talk to him. Hopefully he does a little bit more than an hour with us. We got a special report right in the last 30 minutes of the show. But I wanted to finish up with some callers. Alex in Michigan, former Army, on something that you're obviously talking about Jimmy Dore. I put the clip earlier. The study he was covering of this bacterium in a type of frog that basically cures cancer, so much is about the gut. Give us your take on that. And thanks to Jimmy Dore for bringing that to my attention.
Thanks so much, Alex. How's my connection? Can you hear me all right?
Crystal clear.
Excellent. I first wanted to say that with all the talk of the Jews, it's actually the Jesuit order and the Black Pope at Rome who control everything, including Freemasonry, because they wrote all the high degrees of Freemasonry at the College of Clermont in Paris in 1754. And that's in the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry by Albert Mackey, and also in Isis Unveiled by Madame Blavatsky, Volume 2. And so it's actually the Jesuit order behind all our problems, because Anthony Fauci was trained by the Jesuits since he was a young man at Regis High School. He said his earliest mentors were Jesuit priests. And then he went to Jesuit Holy Cross. And now he's a professor at Jesuit Georgetown University. And Jesuit Georgetown runs the State Department through the Edmund Walsh School of Foreign Service.
Yeah, well, Hillary Clinton said, she said, what drives you? What's your worldview? She says, I have a juridical worldview, meaning I follow the Jesuits. And that's not even Catholics. The Jesuits, the Society of Jesus with Loyola, aren't supposed to even be involved in the Vatican, but now they've taken it over with the last pope being the head of the Jesuits, literally predicted by so many, the Black Pope.
Exactly. She said her view is very Jesuitical. And her husband, Bill Clinton, went to Jesuit Georgetown and was mentored by Carol Quigley.
And Georgetown and the CIA, we now know it's declassified, directed the CIA DOJ operations against us. But when you get there, you have globalist power blocks. So you have a lot of the Israeli lobby wants it. A lot of the Vatican wants it. There's different factions of the Vatican. That's why I try to just bring it down to issues of sovereignty and freedom, and I try to transcend, whether it's Catholics or Jews. You got the Christian Zionists that are Protestant that are foaming at the mouth and very powerful. And I just think that that's just the hand of evil in general using different groups. And instead of fighting over what group runs everything, I try to get back to policy so we can all agree we don't want flock cameras, we don't want to be spied on, we don't want World War III, we don't want all this stuff.
Exactly, and they have many hidden cures for diseases. There's a herb called Jesuit's bark, and it's a natural source of quinine. And I'm sure they were taking that during the whole COVID bit, the Jesuit's bark.
Oh, yeah, quinine really was proven. It has a similar effect as ivermectin. It also is an anti-malarial drug.
Yep. I'm not a huge fan of ivermectin, but there is another herb called artemisinin, sweet wormwood extract, and it's very strong anti-parasite and less harsh on the internal organs. And there's just all sorts of herbal cures, but they're not going to tell you that because there's no big pharma profit.
What do you make of that big study Jimmy Dore covered where this bacteria in a frog like basically cures cancer?
That's amazing. Yeah, there's so many things in the natural world that God gave us that we're overlooking because we're all focused on what can Big Pharma do, and all they can do is poison us. That's all they can do, and the doctors will never tell you need to detox or anything like that. They're just going to poison you more, because basically, if you read this book, Confessions of a Medical Heretic by Robert Mendelsohn, he said the doctors are the new priest class, and they're modeled after Catholic priests.
Very interesting. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. All right. We're going to break. Join 400-plus radio stations with Jimmy Dore, very popular talk shows, very popular comedian, and the only two men have had their saliva in my mouth. It's actually a funny story. It's true. People think I'm joking. We're like blood brothers or something. Now, how did his saliva get in my mouth? We'll talk about it. All right. We have a serious interview coming up. I shouldn't have brought up that joke. I just thought of that last minute. There's Jimmy on screen. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to Freedom Rx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed 3. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it, but going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There's so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant, your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com. All right, 10 years ago and a month or so, we were at the RNC in July of 2026, and it was like in a parking garage. They put air conditioning in and, you know, blocked the openings up, but it was hundreds and hundreds of media events, and they had this big stage. The Young Turks, Jimmy Dore was part of the show then. And I'm going around, and I walk by. They say, hey, you want to come on later? And I said, yeah, I went to some interviews, and I came back. It was during the break. So I jump on the stage. I'm joking around with Sink Uger. I hold up this Clinton rape shirt. He gets really mad, and then it goes live. And it turned into this huge hysterical, you know, argument. It was a super viral top story, even overshadowing Trump's speech that night. Trended top everywhere. But the joke was, I already knew who Jimmy Dore was. I was already a fan of his comedy. He spits iced tea like a cobra, like 10 feet right in my mouth and face. And I remember going, well, that's iced tea. I remember going, oh, I was like, weird. And so the joke was, he's the only guy ever to spit in my mouth, except it's not true. Willie Nelson, and I am kind of name dropping here. Willie Nelson, when my film Endgame came out in 2007, I was showing the Alamo Draft House. He came to it. They said, Willie Nelson's in the back row. And he comes over, I'm signing DVDs, and says, here's my number. I want to come on your show. So we hung out quite a few times and played chess at his house. The problem was he had those old-fashioned Volcanoes, was the type of vape they had then, where there's a huge pile of marijuana. And I'm not a big marijuana guy, but I, you know, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. And he would sit there with the big nozzle and then hand it to you. And I remember the first time it's like dripping with spit. And I went, well, I never had a guy spit in my mouth, but it's Willie Nelson. So Willie Nelson and Jimmy Dore, quite the fraternity you're in, quite the peer. Only two men I've had their bodily fluids in me. So some kind of weird thing going on here, Jimmy. So you and Willie Nelson, that's a very strange club you're in.
I love Willie Nelson. He's one of my heroes. I love him. But even though I quit smoking pot, I still love him.
Well, it's a funny joke, but I have it documented with you. So I wonder, but I'm still healthy. I haven't had any health problems from it, so that's good.
That was before I took the vax, Alex. So you don't have to worry about shedding.
Incredible. Hey, seriously, I remember when you interrogated me like 7, 8 months ago when I was really on Candace's ass for like a month. And you're like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And I just got caught up and mad. Let's hit that first, because I think there's a cover up. I know Cashville ordered a cover up. I broke that from cabinet people that told me. And then I was just focusing on a few of her trails, saying those are wrong, and I got attacked by her supporters. And then I kind of overdid it, and it took me a few months to figure it out. But I now, clearly with the debates and clearly with the official story falling apart and clearly videos of a guy that's not Tyler Robinson, you can't put a telescopic scope on and even hit paper at 100 yards. This thing has fallen apart. But they have all these new, you know, text messages of him to prop it up. We know Sirhan was set up. We know McVay was set up. You know, all of that. So where are you on the whole Charlie Kirk thing? That is the new JFK story of our generation. And then I want to shift gears into the 35,000 foot view, Trump, the madness of King, you know, George III, and where this is all going. With a top talk show host, Jimmy Dore.
Well, there's definite proof of a cover-up, and there's lots of evidence about who was involved in the cover-up. So I think it was Brett Weinstein tweeted out, if Tyler Robinson did it, why is there a cover-up happening? And there's definitely a cover-up happening. And you see people excusing the fact that they didn't secure the crime scene. So the crime scene's completely obliterated and degraded, and the guy's allowed to take the camera. And now there's, you know, credible theories that the shot came from the camera, and that's why he took it. And so anyway, there's lots of credible theories. The one credible theory that doesn't, the one theory that isn't credible is that Tyler Robinson woke up at 4 a.m, never talked about Charlie Kirk to his lover, never talked about politics, never talked about anything, got in a car, drove 3 hours, found the one stairwell that was not being guarded, was not closed, knew where it was, went on the roof, was up there for 8 to 10 minutes, changed clothes up there, then assembled a rifle up there that's 100 years old, and then took the shot, hit it perfectly, and then somehow Spider-Man'd his way off the building, ran into the woods, and put the gun back. Don't, right away, took it apart, then put it back together without the screwdriver, even though they said they first found the screwdriver next to the gun in the woods. And then they said, no, we found it on the roof, because they couldn't place him on that roof, so they needed that screwdriver. And the cop who found it, his body cam just magically turned off, even though the batteries last 16 hours, and he was only on the job for an hour or two. So that's just part of it. No matter where you point your eyes at this story, none of the official story makes sense. And what is really upsetting to me is that there's a bunch of influencers that are most of them who are obviously being paid to lie to people about this and push this FBI Fed slop and they're doing it in a way that sounds exactly like the people who tried to discredit me and shame me and shut me up when I was telling the truth about COVID and the vaccine. It's exactly the same exact tactics that they use. Buckley Carlson talked about this on that roundtable debate he was at, that people are calling him an anti-Semite, people are calling him demented and low IQ and evil. The same thing's happening
demonic.
To me. Demonic. And that's the same thing that they were doing to me, calling me a grifter during COVID. And it turns out everything I said during COVID was correct. Everything from where they invented the virus to the vaccines and the lockdowns and the whole thing. And nobody's ever going to apologize. But it's weird that the people, and the weird thing is to me, Alex, is that the people who got COVID right are the people who are now, a lot of the people who are pushing the Fed slop were able to get COVID right, but now they're shaming people for being skeptical of the FBI, even though, you know, there's people, like you said, people inside the administration saying they're covering it up. Obviously, they're covering up, just like they covered up the Butler assassination attempt, which lots of credible people now think that that was a setup and that was another false flag. So it's weird to see people who are normally skeptical of government and got the COVID thing right completely flip, and they sound like Democrats trying to shut somebody up during COVID. It's very weird suspect, and it tells me that they're pushing an agenda and they're not looking for facts. And everybody knows the FBI is not investigating this, that they're not investigating it at all. There's no way Tyler Robinson was the guy on that. And then you have those influencers like Jack Posobiec and Benny Johnson coming out saying, we saw up close 4K video of Tyler Robinson taking the shot. Well, we have video of the judge asking the lead cop in the case, the judge during the pretrial said, is there video of him taking the shot? And the cop says, no, there is no video of that. And then the prosecuting attorney reiterates that later on. There's no. So then they have these people.
But even though I know those people that have tried to like him, I can't lie about it. They sit there and say, we saw in 4K him do it. And they see this little person run up and they look like they unfold something small. It's not a 30-06, but regardless, a 30-06 goes through the neck. We know that none of it adds up. So here's the bottom line. I would say 90% of the American people do not buy this. The more they try to push narratives that we're crazy or wrong, the worse it gets for them. A, do you agree with that statement? And B, where do you see this going if they're able, where they didn't even have a grand jury do it? They used a special law that's in Utah to have the prosecutors indict him. And then if they do get their conviction, no one's going to buy. I mean, what are your predictions? Where do you see this going? And what does it say about the system and the loss of trust in the system that nobody buys anything we're being told? And as you said, at every level, it totally falls apart. Not just the 30-06 goes to the neck. I am a big shooter. I am, you know, not a gunsmith, but I'm a gun expert. And I've had on tons of Green Berets, Navy SEALs, you name it. People that don't know, you don't put a 30-06 together in 25 seconds. That's how long he's on the ground. And you certainly don't slap a telescopic scope on that never is even on the paper. You've got to then bore sight it. You've got to fire bullets. You've got to walk it in for the best Delta Force guy in the world, 20 minutes to do that. You know, so it's pure crap. And then they flip the surveillance videos. The guy on the videos clearly has gained 50 pounds. None of it fits. I mean, this was what? A, what happens now that nobody buys it? And then B, what is your working theory? Because we could say Israel was mad he was starting to go public, or the Republicans wanted to take over TPUSA. Why would Cash Patel kill investigation to fire involvement, or the people locally saying he'll be dead tomorrow? I mean, because we have to speculate at that point. We know the official story is not true, but we're forced to speculate about what is the truth.
Yes. So where I think it goes, I think there's a good chance that they can find this guy guilty just because people are corruptible, right? And I don't know who's on his defense team. I don't know. But I know people who were in the court during the pretrial that they said they were pulling their hair out about how what they were doing during the pretrial. Now, again, I'm not a lawyer. I wasn't there. I'm just telling you what people said. And so maybe anybody can be gotten to. They can threaten anybody. If they can kill JFK, if they can kill RFK, MLK, Malcolm X, and they can kill Charlie Kirk, they can certainly threaten and intimidate a defense team. That's all. So that's my worry, that they're able to intimidate the defense team. They put on a poor defense. They get to the judge, stuff like that, and then they convict him. But nobody's going to ever buy it. But nobody's going to care. It'll go away. Just like, look how nobody's talking about the Epstein files anymore. It's going to. So it will go away and they will do their thing. But there's an obvious cover up. Happening here. I think my working theory was that there's no way the Losi Center was the position where he was shot, because if it took out his C2 vertebrae, it would have to go through his frickin' jaw, and everybody knows that. There's no way from that angle. So it's definitely not that. So now we know that there were drones flying around, going around super fast. We know that. We also know there was a Hades jet, which is that PSYOP filled with high-tech spyware on a jet that slowed down to 113 knots over the lake right adjacent to the college, and then took off. It went down to 200 feet, slowed down to 113 knots. And if you could hear, I've heard the air traffic controller talking to that plane, and they said, "Oh, it was just we just had a bad landing. We're gonna abort the landing." But then they never landed. So the theory is that that's when they planted those text messages on his phone, because they have that ability to plant text messages. Of course they do. Are you kidding me? My phone was already hacked into by Pegasus twice. Which you don't have to do anything. All they need is your phone number to do it, and they can put anything they want on your phone. So that's what I think that happened. There's another theory that it was the Elbit drones. So those drones you see flying around were working in conjunction with another drone that was a couple of hundred yards away that actually fired the shot, because they have that technology. And those other drones do the geolocation, and they send it back to that other drone. There's lots of different things. And now the latest thing I've seen is that it definitely looks like there's a bullet coming out of his mic. When he puts his microphone down, you can see something coming up past his knee, definitely. So a lot of people are saying that there was two things at once. that there was coming from the camera behind him. That's why they had to grab that camera right away, and he did. So that's, by the way, that's called a felony. When you are tampering with evidence, which is exactly what he did, and then Terrell Farnsworth did not turn over the SD cards to the FBI. He turned over thumb drives to the FBI, which that means he did something to the video and then sent it over. And a lot of people think that he then manipulated it so you can't see a bullet coming in from the back. And so I know that people think that that was an exit wound. So it could have easily been an exit wound. So,
and then who would have the motive to kill Charlie? Because I was called 7 days after he got killed by people in the cabinet meeting. It was later confirmed the news happened. And they gave it to me because they couldn't talk about it, obviously. The Mattel came in and said, I have Trump's authorization. We're not looking at foreign involvement and what Joe Kent and Tulsi Gabbard found. And we're not looking at the locals saying he'll be dead tomorrow. So right there, you know, there's a cover-up. But then, obviously, people said, okay, Israel right away, because he was publicly turning against Israel. They then denied he was, but then we have all the public statements and the text messages. We have Netanyahu coming right out, even when it was a controversy, saying we didn't kill Charlie Kirk. But if Israel actually did do that in conjunction with the Trump administration, that means they have full control. That doesn't mean that, you know, Trump's just partially controlled. If indeed they did that, that would be the case. Or is there any other group that would stand to gain from getting rid of Charlie Kirk?
I definitely, you know, all evidence, there's no proof, but there's definitely lots of clues and evidence that point towards Israel, as you said. And of course, now we know that, you know, Israel had carte blanche walking into our Pentagon and dictating things and walking into the White House and stuff and our CIA. And so we know now that, of course, there we have a Zionist occupied government. There's no doubt about that. And so, yeah, that would make sense that they would. And then there's also some kind of French connection. I'm not sure what that is, but there seems to be, you know, all the guys in the maroon shirts and all that stuff. And so, you know, there was a bunch of Freemasons, former military Freemasons in France that got arrested, prosecuted, and convicted for running a murder for hire scheme. So those are Freemasons. And so that why that has legs.
Well, I'll say this. When the U.S. government kills somebody, they'll get multiple hit teams there, like in Kennedy. I mean, they had reportedly the Jackal, the French shooter, to try to kill De Gaulle. They had Italian mafia. They had the military there. They had a bunch of other groups. And later, I got the deathbed confession with his son, V. Howard Hunt, who Mission Impossible is based on, that he quarterbacked the attack. I also knew the mistress of LBJ, who confirmed it all. And then I got the tape last year of the head of the DNC describing all of them and how they did kill them. And they had all those groups there to create possible deniability. Because they got them all there the week before with LBJ in Dallas because they had to have every criminal group together so they couldn't blackmail each other. They had to all be there and have a hand in it, like with Caesar, where they're all stabbing him so they all have culpability and are now bound to the cover-up.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And so I think what happened that Charlie had woken up to that the organization he thought that he was running and he thought that he founded was actually a Zionist organization. And that at first, he was a Zionist himself. And I think that when he started to wake up, and especially it was this Gaza situation that made him wake up to it and him not wanting to be controlled. And he saw what the Greater Israel Project was, and he saw how they had infiltrated his own organization and the pastor network that surrounds him. And he was done with it. And then, you know, he went on PBD's podcast and he said, I know pattern recognition and they're going to ethnically cleanse Gaza. And why was there a 6 hour, 8 hour delay?
Let me back you up because I didn't think of this clue until later. And I've got the phone records, folks, because he'd call me a few times a year, but he called me before Midnight Hammer about a month or two before he got 3 or 4 months before he got killed. Yeah, it was in July. And he said, great job. Keep it up. They're trying to pull us into full war. Please keep it up. And I said, okay, great. He said, hey, we got to get you some of our events again. We love you, blah, blah, blah. Then he called me about, that was actually about before. It was before that. He called me and thanked me to keep the Epstein thing going. That was important. And he said, we've got to, you know, keep, you know, Israel from dragging us into these wars. And then when Candace came out and said, I have the text messages, they said she was a liar, even though we had him in interviews saying similar things. Then she released the real text messages. So my point was, He was working the phones. I heard at the White House before it even came out in the news, he was keeping Trump from going to full war with Iran. So all that stuff I heard Candace say, I was like, okay, that's all actually true, because he called me up and thanked me. It wasn't like I was that important. He called a bunch of people. So he was actively pushing, and I think that's what pissed him off so much. That's what makes Netanyahu a prime suspect. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, when he realized this, and he was doing exactly what you're saying, he was a real problem. And so they had to get rid of him. My theory is, here's my theory. Now, I can't back this up, but this makes logical sense. Trump is a transactional guy. He's always been a transactional guy, and he cares about billions of dollars and making money and being seen as the richest guy and the most successful guy around. So I think it's very plausible that what happened was Israel came to Donald Trump, and they said, hey, listen, if you allow us to take out our biggest problem, which is Charlie Kirk, you allow us to do this ethnic cleansing in Gaza, and you attack Iran for us, we'll let you do all the illegal insider trading you want. You can make billions of dollars, which he's doing right now. And you can also make billions with your stable coins, your crypto scams that he's running. And nobody will investigate you in the Congress, because we own the Congress, as they always brag they do, AIPAC and the Israel lobby. And so you don't have to worry about it. And we'll put Jared, your son-in-law, in charge of the committee that's going to rebuild Gaza. And you could have Trump Towers and hotels in Gaza.
And then magically, as soon as he struck Iran 185 days ago, Epstein totally disappeared out of the corporate media.
Totally disappeared. So I think that's a good working theory. It was 28 days after they killed Charlie Kirk that there was a peace deal in Gaza. And I don't know if you remember that. And so that's when they came up with this this committee that's going to rebuild Gaza, and they're going to put Jared Kushner. And so he was not only him, but his family was promised billions and billions of dollars, which, by the way, they're making. Right. His one baron made $135 million in one day. So they're all, and he's got over close to $1 billion in trades. He's making 3,000 trades in 1 month. So this, and nobody's talking about it. I mean, in the Congress. So I was on Colonel Davis's show, and he was asking, well, don't you think if the Democrats take over the Congress, they're going to go after him over his insider trade? And I go, well, don't you think if they were, they'd be campaigning on it? They're not even mentioning it. So, no, I don't think they're going to go after him on that. A, because they're all guilty of it. And B, there's probably a deal with Israel that they won't go after him, and that Israel controls the Congress. As we know that, and they control the White House.
Yeah, Democrat memos have leaked, as you know, that they could probably get the votes with some Republicans to do the War Powers Act or stop the war. But they're like to their constituents, oh, don't worry, it's embarrassing Trump. No, it's bigger than that. They act like they're against the war, but they're not really.
Correct. That's correct. 100%. You know, and look at the leadership. Right. So, you know, they elect Abdul al-Sayed in Michigan, and he's a democratic socialist who's against the genocide. And that's such a big deal. Well, guess what his being elected is going to do? It's going to make Chuck Schumer the leader of the Senate. Chuck Schumer is the biggest Zionist in the Senate. So it's ironic that you vote against a war, which actually gets somebody put in the position of power who's for the war. So that's the irony. And of course, look at in the House, Hakeem Jeffries. He's a puppet he's a Zionist puppet. He's a puppet of Wall Street. There's no difference between him and McCarthy or I'm blanking on
Well, here's the thing. They can have different political views on sub-issues, but whether it's RFK Jr. or whether it's Hakeem Jeffries or whether it's any of them, they've got to be pro Greater Israel Project.
Yeah, and they got to be pro war, and they all are. They're pro Ukraine war. They're pro. They were pro-Afghanistan war. They were pro-Gaza war. They're pro-Iran war. Then there's nobody screaming to that's in power to stop it. So, yeah, it's another uniparty fake out. And there are people like Bernie Sanders and probably Ro Khanna are there to keep you taking your revolutionary energy of the people who are sick and tired of being ruled by Zionists and sick of a uniparty. They're there to take that energy and funnel it back into the uniparty that keeps you all oppressed and the wars going and you without affordable health care and a whole generation of people without the money to buy a freaking house. And you go bank, or you have to go into mountains of debt when you want to get educated and you go bankrupt when you get sick. Yeah, that's the same system that we're keeping. And homelessness everywhere, by the way.
All right, Jimmy Dore, stay there. I want to move to Trump 185 days in. Oh, the war is back on. It was always going. And fake videos about blowing up Kirk Island, the Russia situation, tied into the midterms, data centers, Bill Gates' bizarre statements on AI, and more with Jimmy Dore. We'll give you dates for his comedy tour as well when we come back. Stay with us.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. The top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That's not a promotion. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Well, I've said that, but the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, your own enemy. He does that to guests. He's like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years with him, but you know, didn't really, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10, but now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that, mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like
this. Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones. Open, 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 open.
So Tucker came out Friday and said Trump must be removed. He's trying to get us into a nuclear war. We are directing attacks on Russia. They're getting ready to hit the UK where the weapons are made. The West admittedly started all this. Victoria Nuland testified to Congress of that. Tucker said it's time to remove him. I've looked at the numbers. We don't have the impeachment numbers. We don't have the cabinet 25th Amendment ready to do it. The only thing I see is the War Powers Act. Congress has the power to make war. They failed by 3 votes a month ago to end the war. So there's enough Republican senators, I think, to join Democrats to end it, but they really don't want that ended. You've got Trump posting Kirk Island being blown up, saying it's been blown up, creating an international scandal. You have him renaming Lake Ontario Lake America. This is a pure stunt. That won't stop the inflation. Where do you see this big picture and where it's going? Because, I mean, this is a real fiasco. This is so dangerous. And what do you – I mean, you're saying he's always been corrupt and bad. I think to some extent that's true. But undoubtedly at 80 and just the way he talks, the way he behaves – I've seen family with frontal lobe dementia, and I think it's clear that whatever bad traits he had have been magnified. Jimmy Dore, what would you say about the moment in history militarily we are that all the top geopolitical military think tanks say is the most dangerous in human history?
Well, obviously it is, and it could spark other wars because now China sees that we're a paper – the rest of the whole world sees we're a paper tiger. So that was the whole thing. The whole reason why other countries wanted to go along with us – especially the Gulf states, and why they would trade oil in American dollars, which is because we promised them the military protection. And now it's obvious we can't protect them from even Iran, and that we can't even beat Iran in a war. It's just ironic to me that someone like Pete Hegseth, who is muy macho, comes in, renames the Department of Defense the Department of War because he's such a badass, and then he loses his first war. And so that's what happened. The war is lost. There's no winning this war. And that's what Tucker's talking about when the president is so desperate, he starts talking about using nuclear weapons, which is, again, that he's right. They should take him out. And though there's credible, very credible reports from people on the inside who say that Donald Trump, they know that he is demented and that people say that they will stop him if he tries to do a nuke. So that's good to hear that they will stop him. If he tries to use a nuke, I don't know how you could stop the president, but they say they will. So this is also probably could very easily. The fact that it's clear that the United States is now a paper tiger and all this money we've been spending on military is for nothing. And, you know, Trump is also getting the NATO countries to spend more on their military, at which he's been successful at doing that. So what he's really doing is lessening their dependence on our military, right? So now if they don't need our military anymore and our military is a paper tiger, that's going to embolden people like Russia to do what they want. It's going to embolden China to go into Taiwan. And who knows whatever else it's going to embolden people to do. But it's certainly it's the end of the United States as being the global hegemon. And then you pair it with the fact that he's getting Europe to beef up their own military, which they're doing. So they even have less reliance on it. Did you know there's the Mecca Accord, right, which is Turkey, Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia?
Nuclear umbrella. Well, what is Israel thinking? I predicted that Pakistan would come up with a nuclear umbrella like 4 months ago. That's just a simple chess move. What do you think about Netanyahu? What do you think about what Israel's doing?
So they're desperate to not let Trump end the Iran war. They're not going to. And, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu's got to run as a warmonger. And that's it. Because, again, you know this, and your audience, if they stop the war, he gets prosecuted. So they're never going to stop the wars. And they're going to keep, and Trump's going to go along with them because, as I told you in the previous segment, I think he has this transactional arrangement with them that he can make billions and billions and his family can if he keeps the wars going. So look, at some point, which is close because now our petroleum reserves are down, right? They're almost all depleted. So at some point, this is going to really screw the inflation here at home because gas prices, we can't artificially keep them low because we're running out of petroleum reserves. That's what I think. And Israel's not going to stop. I mean, they're not going to stop. There's no stopping. I mean, is this the speech where he brags about manipulating Trump and the American people? And is that the speech? Because I just saw one this morning where he talked about that. And so, yeah, that's what they're doing. And of course, he says that in Hebrew. He doesn't say that in English. It's a sad situation. World War III. I don't know about World War III, but more wars are possible. And if Trump goes ahead and tries a nuke, I hope they'll stop him. We'll see. And, well, Marjorie Taylor Greene has said that she knows for certain that he is definitely talking about it. And Trump is...
Well, they already had the Joint Chiefs leak that 3 months ago he wanted to be given the battle plan to nuke Iran. They wouldn't even give it to him. Chairman Kane, who's not even a dove, he said tune in.
Right.
He said tune in when I said, you know, when this first started, it's time to remove him. He said tune in to Mark Levin for What I Believe Tonight. Mark Levin's like, time to use A-bombs like Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Do what Truman did. They've had the other surrogates. They've had Israel talking about it. So he's talking about ending Iran in one day, never return, glowing orange crater. That is clear nuclear war threats, bombing inside Russia with our telemetry and directives. Russia knows that's them. Russia said in their papers, they told Ratcliffe, we know you're behind it. Just shut up. Stop acting like you're not doing this. I mean, this is insane.
It's 100% insane. Thank God Kane, which you said, he's the opposite of a dove. Even he sees this as being crazy. What is this? You're happy to see Saudi Arabia?
Oh yeah. He spun the Mecca Accords like that was good.
Oh my God. No, that's to me, that signals the end of the petrodollar, which is just hastening the effect that the.
Yeah, explain it. The U.S. doesn't provide, like we got after World War II, security for the Middle East, then it will go to the BRICS or it will go to another group of things. This is hastening the end of the dollar. It's the weakest ever. They tried to prop up U.S. Treasuries 3 weeks ago, but that failed. So literally they say this is 10D chess to save the dollar. It's doing the absolute opposite. It's hard to believe Trump's actually that stupid. Maybe he is here to wreck and destroy America. Go ahead.
Obviously it seems like it. And, you know, Bessent is the worst Treasury secretary in probably 100 years, if not all time. He doesn't ever once talk about making houses affordable for people. He doesn't talk about our economy. All he talks about is wrecking someone else's economy and trying to threaten the world. People don't know that the reason why our dollar is the reserve currency of the world, which props up our economy and gives us the ability to print money. Is because all the other countries in the world, when they want to trade with each other, they do it in dollars because oil has to be purchased in dollars because of our military pact with the Gulf states that if you sell oil only in American dollars, we'll give you the use of our military.
But now our bases are blown up. We've evacuated. So this went as bad as it could possibly go. This is a total disaster. And now the dollar's weakening further. Oil is up. And so where does it go now?
And Scott Bessent trying to threaten the whole world with sanctions. So that's the last thing you want to do, especially right now, is to weaponize the dollar further. Because what that does is make other countries go, hey, maybe this isn't a good idea for us to keep using the dollar to do trade. Maybe I don't want to be, I'm going to be next, the person
who's
sanctioned.
And they stop buying treasuries and they stop buying dollars, which has happened.
Which is why treasuries are back up to 5.5%. And that's another interesting story. So we've been doing quantitative easing, and that's why the treasuries have been so low. But now the new Fed guy is wanting to stop doing quantitative easing. And so they're putting out all these scare stories about how the bonds are up 5.5%. And that's because they want him to keep doing quantitative easing so they can fund these data centers. That was my next question.
How does the giant data center – we already have 12 times what China has. They're not dominant. We're dominant. Trump's given them liability protection to totally take over. What's the heart of the data center craze where Trump's posting on Truth Social, get out of the way. Big data's king. Do whatever it says. What the hell is that?
So Wall Street wants cheap money to finance these data centers, and they want to keep going with quantitative easing, which you pay for, right? So that makes when you buy a car more expensive, the interest rates you pay more expensive.
Yeah, let's be clear. This is QE Unlimited. Bessent is now monetizing half of the weekly bonds that are sold. Never before done. So the world's not buying our debt. I mean, this is
right.
This is bad.
This is not good. This really signals the end of the U.S. dollarism. I thought it was going to take probably 10 to 20 years. It might come even faster than that. And when that happens, you know that's going to crash our economy. And it doesn't seem like there's a grown-up in the room that's going to try to stop him. So they want the data centers. That Wall Street is trying to pressure the current Fed chairman to keep doing quantitative easing forever, and he's trying to cut back on that. And I'm with them on that. Stop doing the quantitative easing, because we end up paying. Regular people are the ones who end up paying for it, and they get their money to go. And I think the data centers, you know, didn't OpenAI just post a $19 billion loss? Correct me if I'm wrong on this. I think maybe
they're all doing it. It's meant to prop up the bubble.
Yeah, so we're in one of the biggest bubble AI bubbles, which is going to pop, and they want to get these data centers built before it all pops. And again, we're going to all pay for it. And so, Scott Bessent.
And the government's going to nationalize the data centers, so they'll get all the surveillance for free.
Yes. And whatever they do, they're not going to do it. And just like when the banks crashed, and they should have nationalized the banks then, but they didn't. They just bailed them out while Barack Obama kicked 5.1 million families out of their houses while he made the banks whole and made sure they didn't miss a bonus. So again, it doesn't matter who's president. They're going to do the bidding of the oligarchy, because that's how you get to be president if you already make a deal with the oligarchy. And obviously Trump has made a deal with the deep state and the oligarchy to do their bidding. So yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. That's a great prediction.
So,
and by the way, those ICE prisons are not there for illegal immigrants. Just to let you know, those ICE prisons are for you when you rise up and realize the scam that's actually being played on us, and you protest against.
Have
all
you
this
noticed
stuff.
They started saying 6 months ago the number one threat? First, Larry Fink said it. Then the Google guys said it. And then now the Homeland Security says the main threat is the coming wave of terror against the data centers, with no evidence of that. So they're really telegraphing their move. Speak to that. And then if you were the president, or if you could possess Trump for 24 hours and make him sane, or the Democrats, what would you do to turn this around, Jimmy Dore?
You're exactly right. They're going to call. So now the big thing is they call you a terrorist. So then the Constitution doesn't apply. Because when Barack Obama repealed habeas corpus, all they have to do is now call you a terrorist, and they can give you indefinite detention without charging you. They can lock you up as a terrorist. And so that's what they're looking to do when you, because believe me, they're not putting illegal immigrants in these prisons. Trump already said we need to have them here to work in our factories. We need them here to work in our hotels. We need them here to work in our restaurants and in our farms and in our construction. So he's not doing what he said.
And you're right. By the way, in Reagan's Rex 84, they built the first official FEMA camps and said to Congress it's for illegal aliens, but it got declassified. It was for really an uprising.
So people need to wake up to that. So what I would do, your question of what I would do if I was president, I would take all that money they're spending on the Pentagon. You know, just the $200 billion we already spent on the Iran war could have wiped out, you know, 100 million people in America have medical debt. Well, if you would have taken that $200 billion, you could have wiped out everybody in America's medical debt. Imagine what that would do for our economy. People don't have that hanging over their head, and now they can go out and spend money. I would also give people the ability to buy into Medicare. So I'm not going to enforce or force anyone to go into. I'm going to give a public option. Hey, if you don't want to have to buy from United Health, which denies a third of your claims, so they can make billions of dollars, now you can buy into Medicare. It's not free. You buy instead of paying. So that would alleviate people's bankruptcy when they get sick. It would make sure that they're not tied to a job. It would give people economic freedom to go out and become entrepreneurs and start their own businesses, and so they wouldn't be tied like a slave because of their health insurance and their kids got diabetes and they got to stay in this job. So I would take that money that we're spending on Iran, wipe out that debt. I would give people the ability to buy into Medicare. And I would take the money that he wants to spend, the extra $800 billion he wants to now spend on the Pentagon, and I would give that to the top 50 cities in America and say, you have to pay, spend this on housing, and you have to spend this on infrastructure. And so then, and then you appoint an independent board to make sure they're spending it that way.
And that alone would create a building. That alone would create a building boom. And I want to get back to Israel just briefly, but finish your points on what you would do, because you mentioned the clip. You knew what the clip looked like. That is the clip. And I'm not just trying to get on Israel here, but it has to be done, because Israel really is trying to take over. The NDAA has passed the House. Section 219 literally says over and over again, fuse, merge, from research to the field to all telemetry to all intelligence, live time, a special office above everybody but the president. This is literally Israel trying a coup. Netanyahu admits he wrote the subsection, wrote letters to Congress thanking them. And then now that thing is sitting there in the Senate. I mean, this is outrageous. Netanyahu says, we won't need your money anymore because we'll co-own your military-industrial complex. Right. Here's a clip of Netanyahu in Hebrew, but I'll read the subtitles for radio listeners. This is just yesterday, bragging on the campaign trail that you need me because I control Trump and I control America. Here it is.
Yes.
Mr. Minister, Mr. Prime Minister, one word, just understand this. Look, I'm dealing with this. I've been against Iran for almost 40 years. You have to recognize the danger. You have to be able to bring it. It took me a long time to bring our security establishment to deal with Iran itself and not just its branches. And that's what we did in the end when we unified government that I spoke about established. I took a long time to bring the United States to its senses. I could do it. This is because I had, I don't want to say thousands, but close to 1,000 hours on American television, with the ability to influence the United States, with the intimate knowledge of all of its leaders, both those who support and those who don't support us, the ability to navigate this field through it, in it. What are you? We are a small country. So he's saying, I control the leaders. I've got the intimate knowledge, meaning the dirt. This is another amazing admission.
Yeah, so that's him, because that's him campaigning for re-election. Because if he doesn't get elected, he's going to go to prison. That's the one thing Israel does. They actually do put in their leaders when they're corrupt. So, and he's just, and of course he's saying it in Hebrew, that I control Trump. I can, not only Trump, but I control the American people's minds. That's, you know, as Michael Parenti said, they don't care about if you have health care. They don't care about if you have a good job. They don't care if you have infrastructure or good schools. They only care about what you think. And that's what he's telling them. He's like, I have control of the minds of the American people and of their elected leaders. And so you need me, elect me again, because I control them. And you know what? That might be the one true thing he's ever said.
My issue is Israel gets different leadership from time to time. I'm not a Israel phobe here, but I really am phobic of the Likudniks. They're the number one hated country in the world in Gallup polls and other studies. They keep doubling down. Now they have Ben-Gvir admitting he wants to take Lebanon and Syria and saying we're going to kill everybody and burn everything down. They're having a PR disaster, and they seem to not care. How does Israel ever extricate itself from this, and us as well, if we keep following this? This is like megalomania.
Well, I don't know how you extricate yourself from megalomania, but it's a mindset that, as the polls have proven, it infects the entire populace of Israel, right? So it's not just, so I wouldn't say Jews inside Israel, the people who live in Israel, all have this mindset. They're all about we're the chosen one, and you are jealous, and that you should all serve us. You should all be our slaves. And if we have to wipe out Amalek, which is the Palestinians, we're going to do it. And so they all feel that way. So, and they all want to go into they're all on board for the greater Israel project. So it actually doesn't matter who's the president, right? Because the polls have shown they all feel this way. They're just going to keep electing people who think like that. And this is the natural extension of that kind of thinking.
Did you see Netanyahu last week? I played the clip where he says, okay, you're all getting persecuted because Israel's doing things to get persecuted. It's okay. Israel will get bigger. We'll make room. I mean, he's saying that.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that. But there is no stopping this. And unless the United States, which is not going to happen, pulls their support from Israel. If we pulled our support from Israel, they would probably get taken over by Turkey, Pakistan, and Egypt. But we're not, you know, Egypt's a facile state. And so we're not going to pull our support from it. So that's not going to happen. But the, you know, Turkey knows that Israel is eyeing Turkey right now, and you know, they're both occupying Syria.
Netanyahu said on Fox a month ago, Turkey's next. So adding that together with Russia, who won't even now meet with Trump, Ratcliffe tried to get a meeting. They said, no, we know you're behind it. Stop acting like it. That's escalating now. Where do you see that runaway train to hell going?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that when Ratcliffe went to have a meeting, he told Ukraine, stop bombing. Don't do any military actions while I'm there, which means that it's actually us. So we control Ukraine. We are the ones doing this war. We actually wanted a war with Russia. And again, that's what Russiagate was all there for. Russiagate was to prime the pump for the American people's minds to get ready for a war with Russia. Again, they don't care about anything except what you think. And that it worked like a charm. You saw all the morons with the Ukraine flag in their profiles on Twitter and everywhere else. And so they buy every war. They learn nothing from any war. And so that just shows you this is the United States. And again, it's not the people. The government are middle managers. Trump and the Congress are middle managers. The people who run things are BlackRock, Vanguard, the military industrial complex, right? Israel. Those are the people, the deep state. Those are the people who really, WEF, the Bilderbergs. Those are the people who run things. The people in Congress and the people in the White House are just middle managers. And they thought that it would be much easier to break up Russia and balkanize it and split it up and sell it off for parts to BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. But it turns out, no, they miscalculated.
That was my next question. And you're doing 15 minutes for this and you got to go. Then I got big news after that. Is you called it all right. I watch your show. I've been a fan for many years, but you just nail it every time. It's failing for them. So you have an immovable object, unstoppable force. What happens when they collide? We're going to break. We're going to come right back. But JimmyDore.com, I've seen you before. I never came up to the front when you were there in Austin, but you do a great job. People can see you on tour. We'll put that on screen. Go to JimmyDore.com, and you can find all the different tour places that Jimmy Dore is going to be there. It's right there on the front page, the link. Find him on tour, and he's definitely, his comedy is amazing and original. And people can find his show there daily as well. I rarely have watched a live show, seen it a few times. I've been on as a guest before, but I do tend to late at night in the morning watch the clips. Where do people find your live show, Jimmy Dore?
JimmyDore.com, or they go to Jimmy Dore Show on YouTube, Rumble. I'm everywhere. But please go to JimmyDore.com, become a member, because we're being suppressed. Ever since the start of the war, YouTube is definitely extra suppressing us.
Oh, so we're seeing it too. We're seeing it too. That's why people have to take the links themselves. This is an information war. All right, Jimmy, you're going to break in 2 minutes. Come right back with you and look at the midterms, look at how we could remove Trump, and several other big issues with Jimmy Dore, JimmyDore.com. I am supported by you, the listeners and viewers. I'm funded by you, not by Israel, not by Republicans, Democrats, Russians, Chinese, Easter bunnies. You, TheAlexShowStore.com. We've extended the end of summer super sale till Wednesday night, and that's it. 50% off ultramethylene blue, methylene red, a whole bunch of our best-selling supplements that are the very best. They really work. I want you to try them. Get them. They're amazing. Also, every order until Wednesday at midnight, and that's it for the sale. It's a free bottle of Shilajit gummies. If you know what Shilajit is, research it. We have the best private label of it. It comes out of the Himalayan mountains. It's millions of years old. Scientists don't know where it comes from. But when there's earthquakes, it gets exposed. We have the best. And it has all these incredible natural peptides in it that boost stamina, libido, energy, overall health. A free bottle, $40 value with every order. It's already a bestseller. Why are we doing that? For most of you that never got it, we know we have a 92% reorder rate. If we can get you to get a free bottle, you're going to be hooked. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Wide a selection of Patriot t-shirts and apparel, a real adventure to wear all of that. So many other great deals right now. The end of summer super sale is about to end at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Cannot do it without you. Also, we have the online pharmacy, and that's run by the same folks. The backbone is the wellness company. And we have the Minbenzidol with the ivermectin together and all the studies that absolutely knocks out all the parasites. But a lot more they don't want you to know about. A good detox, in my view, a couple times a year. Consult your physician. That's what you do when you go to 7076rx.health, the portal. Talk to a nurse. Talk to a doctor. Get a prescription of that together. It is the 1-2 punch. Really important to take ivermectin and Minbenzidol together for so many reasons. TheAlexJonesStore.com for all the other great products. For 7076rx.health for the ivermectin Minbenzidol powerful combo at 7076rx.health. We'll be right back with hour number 4 in 2 minutes. I wanted to show you this because this is a spectacular product that funds our operation. And if you look at the private label, that Bigley got for this new optimal human greens. The adult one is really great and super concentrate, and like a couple gummies is each pack's like the equivalent of a whole bunch of giant salads and bowls of fruits and, you know, everything else. I mean, this thing is just full of individual daily packs of seven gummies each. But this is the one that's really cool that I'm going to have for my 9-year-old. My other kids are already grown up and out of the house. This is the Greens Gummies for Kids. This doesn't just have every vitamin and mineral with your daily allowance or above it. This has a whole bunch of superfoods, probiotics, and then magnesium, just B12, everything else. This is insane. Absolutely wild. Super concentrated gummies. Whole food vegetables, whole food fruits, vitamins and minerals, antioxidants, gut health probiotics, and so much more. Very exciting. Look, when you open it up, it's great for their lunchbox. Look at all this. Look at all this. TheAlexHillShore.com. Perfect to put in your backpack. Perfect to put, you know, just in your coat so you don't forget to take it. The best thing to do is just take it in the morning. But regardless, when you're on the go, your 18-wheeler, whatever, the adult and the children's are amazing. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Yummy gummies. Gummies good for you. Crunchyo!
Hi-ya!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Lindsey Clancy's in day three of juries. We'll hit that after Jimmy Dore leaves us. A couple of the jurors came in wearing pink. Looks like she's going to walk. But I want to hit two final topics with Jimmy Dore. We only got about 15 minutes left of him or less. And then I'll hit the other news. But I wanted to ask you, I did ask you, we hit the break. How does this end? Because I agree, Israel's in control right now with the globalists. They're not going to stop. But everything they're doing, as you said before break, is running into a brick wall. And then, you know, I had Naomi Wolf on. I thought she was coming on about the, you know, Red Game Alliance. And she's like, you know, basically, you support rape because you're against this Iran war. It was just really emotional, but looked like talking points and targeted. And these people are really getting hysterical, Jimmy, hysterical. How do you see it ending?
I see it ending with them becoming worldwide pariahs. And anywhere, it's already happening. You know, just like with the Nazis after World War II, wherever they went, they had to answer for themselves and they were shunned and hated. And that's what's going to happen with the Israelis and the Zionists. Anywhere their goal. I mean, most of the Jews I know hate the Zionists. They hate this whole war, the genocide. They don't support most of them that I know personally. So they know that it's bad for them, that the worst thing that ever happened to Jews worldwide was Israel. Israel makes them actually that's the craziest thing, right? It's that they quickly claim they built Israel to give a safe haven for Jews. And it was the exact opposite, right? Jews were safe. And now what they're doing with the Greater Israel Project is making Jews unsafe everywhere around the world, which is what Dana Bash actually said to Netanyahu, parroting Hassan Piker. So everybody knows this in their gut. People know that what Israel's doing and the Greater Israel Project and Zionism in general makes Jews less safe everywhere. So where does this end up? This ends up with the world turning against them. This ends up with them not being safe to go anywhere. And this ends up because these shows, your show's not going away. My show's not. People aren't going to stop. People are learning more and more. I didn't know 90% of the stuff I know about Israel and the Greater Israel or Zionism until October 7th. I knew that there was a conflict and that Israel was a strong man and that it was an open air prison. But I didn't know that Israel was started by a Nakba, by actual ethnic cleansing of 750,000 Palestinians. That it came from the Balfour. I didn't know any of that. So I didn't know about the Rothschilds' involvement, the Balfour Declaration, the fake idea that it was created after World War II. I didn't know any of that stuff. And so, but now I do, and most of the people do know. And I didn't know how occupied our government and our media was, but now we all do, and everybody sees it.
Well, I know this exactly. I never made Israel my main thing. I knew a lot of this stuff, but it was different groups, so I didn't make it my main deal. Now being intimidated, threatened by Israel, everybody else. I mean, take Nick Sordor. He's been pro-Israel, totally pro-Trump. He now said it's time to end the war just for the midterms. They're now all threatening him. And I talked to him this morning, but he's also saying, screw you. I'm about to go whole hog. I'm done. So they think like messing with people and calling us Nazis works. We're not Nazis, and we're not going to support Nazi activity by you.
Yeah, there's no kind of pretend shaming. I'm not going to be shamed for standing up for morality. I'm not going to be shamed for standing against the genocide. I'm not going to be shamed. I'm not going to feel any shame for me wanting my own government to act in my own interest, our own country's interest. So it just has the opposite effect, just like it didn't work on Charlie Kirk. He said in the text message, I'm done being bullied by the Jewish lobby. And they play into every stereotype that there's possible. So it had the exact opposite effect with Charlie. So that's all they have left. That's desperate. That's the last gasp of a desperate movement, and they're doing it. And it's not working. Exactly what you said.
Yeah, I see the bots all over me on X, and they're like, why do you hate me? I'm Jewish. Why do you want to kill me? And I'm like, I don't hate Jews. I don't want a foreign country running us. I don't want war. I don't want nuclear war. I don't, please stop. I mean, it's like, you're the ones trying to run us, and then we're saying stop it, and then we're the bad guys. We know we're not the bad guys. That's like Naomi Wolf starts saying, why do you support rape and all this? I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, what does that even have to do with what you're saying? It's all just this guilt. I refuse to take the guilt. I didn't rape anybody. I'm not a Nazi. I just want freedom. And who you are, 60-second break. Come back and hit the measles hoax, and it definitely is. Jimmy Dore wants to get into that. I was already going to cover it today. I'm glad he raised it. We're simpatico. JimmyDore.com. Find his show and live tour dates. He's excellent on tour, and he's a spinning cobra, which is pretty amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to FreedomRx, you have to understand that it's about preserving health and upholding values. Your health, your business, nobody else's. The folks that own this are patriots. They first came to me 4 years ago wanting to do this. I agreed 3. They had it built about a year ago. They kept adding to it, but going through all the stuff we went through, I wanted to wait till we had a new operation to launch it with this incredible sponsor. But now it's ready. There's so many incredible things. The very best testosterone, energy, muscle, libido, mood, sexual health, PT-141. Woo, look out. Talk about the true aphrodisiac. Oxytocin protocols for men and women, longevity, recovery, all the good peptides, the NAD, all of them. HIPAA compliant, your health information is 100% protected. They got everything. Go there now, and it supports this broadcast with the best doctors and nurses, the best backbone, the best people. Your health, your business, nobody else's. Go now to freedomrxhealth.com.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
We got a few minutes left with popular talk show host and comedian Jimmy Dore. And I actually had this in my stack today. And I said, what else you want to hit? And he goes, I want to hit the measles hype, the measles hoax. And it's something I've studied. RFK Jr.'s done a good job exposing it. But they're constantly hyping. Oh, 2 people died. You learn they had cancer and heart attacks, or it was a baby that died with, you know, cancer or holes in their heart. Now they got a big fear scam going in Pennsylvania. And now the evidence is coming out that one kid that got sick had a reaction to the MMR shot. But we have the statistics, and we know that measles was basically eradicated before they even came on with the vaccine. So Jimmy's been nailing this. I wanted him to be able to give us his take on it and how we counter this propaganda.
So you just remind people, it sounds exactly like the propaganda that happened during COVID. This is so Josh Shapiro, the governor, he had a meeting 5 days before his press conference with a group called Protect Your Care, which is a dark money funded organization, get some of their money from George Soros. And so what came together and they had a strategy session, and their big idea was, hey, let's hit Trump on vaccines and hit RFK and vaccines, because that polls well for us. And then just a couple of days later, Josh Shapiro holds a press conference where he lies and says there were 2 people that died because of measles. But if you watch carefully, what he said is that there were measles-associated deaths. Now, let's remember from COVID that when they said COVID-associated deaths, that meant you could be in a car accident, and if you had COVID when you died, they blamed COVID. So that's exactly what they're doing here. The baby, there was a newborn baby who did die and did test positive for measles, but the coroner said the baby died from a ruptured spleen, had nothing to do with measles. And by the way, and Josh Shapiro also said that the baby was unvaccinated. Well, babies don't get their MMR vaccine until at least 12 months anyway. So he's making this up, and that's a great, there it is right there. So the measles death were eradicated pretty much just like polio before they came out with the vaccine. And now more people are killed by the vaccine than are killed by measles by far. Also, more people, more children have to go to the hospital for the vaccine than have to go to the hospital for measles. Over 4,000 a year have to go to the hospital because of the vaccine. Only like 700 have to go because of measles. So again, if you look at that movie, The Inconvenient Study, we all know now that the unvaccinated people are much healthier by 2 to 3 times than the people who are vaccinated. Vaccinated people have 2 to 3 times the level of chronic illness. And so we know we've had an explosion of chronic illness right since around they passed that vaccine shield law. And so now it's exploded because vaccines are a foolproof way to make money. And you know, the reason why they give the hepatitis B vaccine to a baby day one, because they had the hepatitis B vaccine for people. The only way you can catch hepatitis B is you catch it from intravenous drug use or reckless sex. And the people, grown-ups, weren't taking it. And so they were like, well, what can we do? Nobody's taking this great vaccine we made. They go, well, I know, we'll put it on the child schedule. And they did, and nobody questions it because we've been brainwashed into thinking that vaccines are the greatest gift from God when they're actually the opposite. They actually screw up your immune system, and they actually make you less healthy to the point of that movie is revealing for sure they did a study, and the study revealed that you are 2 to 3 times more likely to suffer from chronic illness if you're vaccinated than if you're not. And they didn't release that study. Val Bigtree had to get it clandestinely, but he got it. And the reason why the guy didn't want to release it, because he said, if I do, my career's over. So it's the same thing with the MMR vaccine. I wouldn't give anybody, but go look at the Brady Bunch videos when the kids used to get measles in the 60s, as opposed to now the TV shows. They make it sound like it's a death sentence to get measles. It's not. It's not. In fact, not only if you get measles, it cuts down on your likelihood to get cancer later in life. Did you know that? It actually makes you healthier. It makes your immune system stronger and more robust. They don't ever tell you that.
But, Jimmy, we know we're not living as long. We know we give 70-something shots to kids. We know they're covering this. I want to play one more clip and get your take on this. But we had the Governor Shapiro come out whenever Kennedy said MMR shots have fetal tissue in them. So does the COVID shot, they by do. The way. And he said that's a lie. But here's Dr. Stanley Plotkin, who was the inventor of the mRNA and worked on all these other things, admitting that it's all based on fetal cells. Here's a short clip. Here it is.
In your work related to vaccines, how many fetuses have been part of that work?
My own personal work, too.
I'm going to hand you what's been marked Plaintiff's Exhibit 41. Okay. Are you familiar with this article, Dr. Plotkin?
Yes.
Okay. Are you listed as an author on this article?
Yes.
This study took place at the Wistar Institute, correct?
Yes.
You were at the Wistar Institute, correct?
Yes.
How many fetuses were used in the study described in this article?
Quite a few.
So this study involved 74 fetuses, correct?
Oh, I don't remember exactly how many.
All right, let's stop here. We're live now, but Jimmy Dore's got to go soon, and I want to finish with the news. So when we post this to X and Rumble later, we'll add the 4 minutes where he admits that all the vaccines have fetal tissue, and that's how it's developed. The point is, they talk to us like we're dumb. I remember when I was on Rogan a few years ago, and I said, you know, the majority of measles is now caused by the vaccine that Bill Gates pushes. And then we pulled up Reuters and AP. Later, they said he was a liar, so Rogan went on a whole tirade with experts on showing it. So they talk to us like we're idiots. Now Connecticut, Massachusetts, they're all trying to get rid of exemptions for this. They really are trying to set it up. You took the COVID shot, got really sick from it. Elon Musk got sick. His brother got really sick. People know the truth about this. Where do you see this fight going? Because just like Israel's losing the PR war, but it's still in control of Congress. Big Pharma's still in control to a certain extent. Kennedy's done some good things, but they're still pushing. How do you see this ending?
I see that the MAHA medical movement, even though the Trump administration is doing their best to try to squash it and try to get it discredited, is going to keep going. And it's about raising consciousness, and they're doing it. And more people from your show, my show, more shows like it, are talking about the scam that is the vaccination schedule. And people are waking up. I think it's just going to grow and keep going. It's not going the other way. And that's why they're coming. They have to go out and try to discredit RFK. And they have to try to discredit the MAHA movement. They have to try to keep discrediting people who are have healthy skepticism about Big Pharma's vaccine schedule and their vaccines. So I think it's a good thing. I think that it's going to keep growing and growing. And I think more people are going to stop having their kids. So that, you know, when they pass laws to get rid of religious exemptions, do you think that's going to make people who are religious still go ahead and stick an aborted fetus, a filled vaccine into their kid? They're not going to do it. So all they're doing is now they're going to make people who are moral and have a strong religious conviction. Now they're going to try to turn them into criminals. Right. And so and that's going to make them wake up even more to how corrupt our government is. So I think it's going to be the great awakening. And so that's my fingers crossed. Hope that's what happens. That's my prediction. And I'll stick with it.
Last question. I got to go. And I appreciate the time. But I mean, you're a smart guy, and I've been following you for years, but I think your show's really hit its stride, probably one of the best out there for wide spectrum analysis. You can't just cover one topic or another. You got to understand a lot of them, how they fit together. I look at Trump and the unprecedented insider trading, the open, okay, we give you a $1 billion contract for tungsten in Tajikistan, and my kids get, you know, 50 million. Him putting out the Truth Social advertisement and doubling down. Literally, I read the advertisement like 20 times on air. It says, if you want to be ahead of the curve, make big money in the stock market, learn what Trump's going to do in policy and announcements before anybody else. It says yes. Insider trading. And that's just one thing. It's so crazy. I can't even keep track of all of the unprecedented looting, which he really didn't do the first time. I mean, I would have called Trump out if he did then. He like literally Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Ham-fisted before, made some mistakes. I think he was kind of a rebel at certain levels. You didn't really support him, but halfway said, well, he's a disruptor. Clearly, 3-4 months in administration, it just like a record skipping, he turned, and it's just getting worse by the minute. What are they going to do when they lose the midterms and the Democrats come roaring in with them with real stuff this time, not made-up Russiagate, not bullcrap, real stuff where they run advertisers, for instance. He says he'll pardon his whole administration. Okay, fine. PR-wise, though, he'll make Ulysses S. Grant, who was previously the most corrupt president, they say, with looting, look like a choir boy. And then what's going to happen to the paid-off influencers that took the billions from Israel and others that look like complete fools? What are they going to do when all of this unfolds? Because this is the most reckless, wild-eyed. I think that's why Trump may want to just get us in a world war or something. He's talking about, you know, I'm going to win in 2028, posting about that. He's got his cult saying, oh, no, he's not leaving. And I thought that was a joke last year. I think it's serious. I think we have real megalomania on steroids here. So how do you see this tumultuous time with, you know, 62 days from the midterms and what comes out of that?
Well, as I said, I don't know if I mentioned it already in this interview, but I think if the Democrats were planning on prosecuting Trump over his financial crimes and his insider trading, which he makes Hunter Biden look like a, you know, his $80,000 a month no show job at a Ukraine energy board makes him look like a Boy Scout, you know, no kidding.
Amateur.
What Trump is doing, amateur. So Trump is coming in and doing it big, big time. And I think if they were planning on doing that, I think that they would be running on it right now. I think they would all be talking about it every time they went on television, and they're not. I think, you know, it's just like, you know, I used to do a joke about why did it take so long for the Democrats to impeach Trump the first time? Because they had to find a crime that they also weren't guilty of.
Exactly.
And
not
so,
a joke. That's true.
And so that, yeah. And so that's what makes a joke good. It has that ring of truth. Right. And so, yeah. So I think it's the same thing here. They're all doing insider trading and just to a lower degree than Trump. And I think, again, he has the shield from the AIPAC lobby and the Israel lobby to do these things because it was a transactional arrangement that he would do the, he would keep funding the war in Gaza. He would do the Iran war, and then they would make, they would give him cover to do all the illegal, the crypto stuff and illegal insider trading that he wants, and promise that he wouldn't get investigated. Now, I get it. This is just a theory. We'll see. But again, you know, why don't you think that the Democrats would be talking about this if they were going to?
No, I agree. I agree. They made some deal at the highest levels, and he thinks we'll have a short memory. He'll sell off in the sunset. But it looks like it's going to make the dollar go belly up. So I don't think Trump will escape this. But I think he's so committed to it now, I don't think he's going to stop.
I agree. Alex, do you ever think about retiring?
No, because, I mean, this is like life and death survival for me and everybody else. Do you ever think about it?
Yeah, I was in Croatia. I spent about 14 days in Croatia, and I was like, I just want to stay here for the rest of my life and sit by the ocean and relax. It was the first time in my life I was like, yeah, I could stop. I never even knew Croatia was that nice. It was beautiful.
Everybody tells me go to Croatia. Everybody tells me that.
And it was, you know, the food is great because they were conquered by the Venetians for a while, so they have the good food. It was really wonderful. I thought about it. I was like, what? Why am I doing this? What?
Yeah, because it doesn't seem. But then Nat Rothschild and Ivanka Trump will just conquer Croatia. I mean, you can't hide from these people.
Yeah. No, you're correct about that. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the Croats will rise up like the Albanians did. Don't you wish America was more like the Albanians? That's what we need. So, I mean, if there's a chance, the only way we can get out of this, Alex, we can't vote our way out of it, right? And so the only way we can get out of this is we have to shut down capitalism like the truckers did in Canada. So we have to have, like, if the railroad workers just didn't show up for work for a week, or the port workers, or the truck drivers, and they shut down, and you have to have, whenever you have a protest, you have to have a demand, right? So that's how you know that the No Kings protests are a psyop, because they have these protests, and there's no demand connected
exactly
to them. So that's just a psyop. So if this ever does happen where the workers rise up and they shut down capitalism to put a hurt on the oligarchy, the demand has to be no money in politics and we have publicly financed elections. So that's got to be the demand. And then you have to change. You have to have a constitutional amendment that says money is not speech. OK, because we all know it's not. But the Supreme Court's going along with that interpretation. So we need a constitution. So you have to have those two demands. And that's the only way we can get control of our government right now, because we do live in a legit oligarchy. It doesn't matter who you vote for. You get the same shit over and over.
No, I agree. But the bottom line is, you agree with me, though, is we're in the fourth turning. There's no way they prop this up much longer. The question is what comes out of it. I'll tell you, to answer your question, I had to think about it when you said it. When I got remarried 9, 10 years ago, I went to Hawaii for the first time, and I thought, you know, I fight so hard. I do this all the time. Maybe I just write a book a year, live frugally. I've done this fight so long. People don't really need me. But then I got sued and attacked by the deep state so bad, and now I literally have nothing. Plus, I'm never going to give up. So the sick part was I was actually planning to dial it back a lot. Just because I'm so committed, it's either 100 miles an hour or zero. And so they've now turned me into this creature of vengeance and survival. So what's crazy is I would have already been off the scene if they hadn't done all this. What's weird is they now targeted me because of Trump, and now I didn't start bashing Trump, get them to leave me alone, which they haven't done because it's the CIA above Trump, so I'm not allowed to retire.
Okay. All right. I was just curious because I really got the bug to retire. And you know what? I think it's just, I mean, if I felt like I could make a, I always felt like I was making a difference, right? And I always felt like I did a live show last night in Burbank, California, and I had lots of people come up to me saying, you know, it's important what you're doing. You are educating people. You are letting people know the things that they need to know. And so that kind of like, okay, if people really find value in what I'm doing, because I feel like it's kind of hopeless that
well, let me stop you because you got to go and we're going to break. But let me just say this clearly to you. You were always good on air. I've been a fan for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. We followed you before. You have hit your stride. I don't want to say you weren't good before. You already had your stride. You're as good as it gets. Your show is just really great. You're not allowed to quit. Maybe you can slow down here or there. But, yeah, people love you. People on the street talk about you all the time. So you are more popular than ever, even with the censorship. You're not allowed to quit, Jimmy Dore. We need you because, let me tell you, don't be hopeless. You know this. You're a smart guy. As bad as stuff is, if you and I and many others weren't fighting this, we would be up the creek. And you and I have to say stuff first. I might be mean to Joe. He's a great guy. So when it's safe, Joe and others will say it. We are the guys that hit the barbed wire. We're the guys that soften up the beach. We're the shock troops. So we need you, who we always know will say the truth right up front, to stay there because it's up to us to lay the groundwork for folks that kind of wait till it's safe.
Well, let's remember Joe Rogan got his skin colored green by CNN, so he often takes stances that aren't safe.
No, you're right. I wasn't saying Joe does it all. I'm just saying in general, for everybody else, it's up to us to lay the groundwork.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm in the fight. I'm in the fight, brother.
Maybe we should, take the family and the women and all the stuff and go broadcast for a month live from Croatia. Hey, Jimmy Dore, thank you so much.
Let's do that. I'd love to do that. That'd be amazing.
I have more people tell me about Croatia in the last 10 years, not even longer, like 15 years ago. My buddy was like, oh, man, my buddy's married to a Croatian. We're going over there for 2 weeks. And he came back with these photos. So I've been here in Croatia as the spot forever. Jimmy Dore, JimmyDore.com. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye, buddy.
Powerful interview. All right, I need to talk about the SPLC, the globalists, the Democrat side of the deep state that's still after us, some amazing findings that came up. And more to understand why we're still under major attack here, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't get to Bill Gates blogging out the sun and now Elon Musk agreeing with him. I will cover that tomorrow. I promise you. I'll probably just shoot a special report today because I'm going to be up here working late tonight. But I need to get to these special reports because it's really important to get on record what we're facing, what we're dealing with. But I can't do this without you. I'm very thankful to all of you. I'm very humble for all of you. We have extended the mega sale, into summer mega sale, till Wednesday, 50% off Methylene Blue, a bunch of other big deals, a free bottle of Shilajit with every order. Just buy a ball cap, T-shirt, free bottle of Shilajit, $40 value. It's amazing. We know you're going to get hooked. That's why we're doing it. It's already in the top 10 bestsellers, but we want those of you that haven't tried it to get it. Ultra Methylene Blue, 50% off. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And then separately, at the online pharmacy with the portal, talk to nurses, doctors, you name it, you can go to 1776rx.health and get the strongest benbenzidol and ivermectin combo that's not just antiparasitic. It's known for knocking out a lot of other bad stuff, a great detox to take. Talk to the medical professionals and find out if it's right for you. And the consultation there is free, and then you just get the prescription at 1776rx.health. Do it online, or there's a number there. It is so easy to do. All you do is to 1776RX, just the letters RX, 1776RX.health. Get the ivermectin and benzidol right now at 1776RX.health, and that funds this operation. We cannot do any of this without you. We are fighting so hard, and it tears me up. I waited probably too long, though. I've been going after him for a year and a half, to really get on Trump, because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But the Epstein cover-up and cutting back on border enforcement and these wars and just all the bizarreness, I have to keep saying, I'm not with this. We need to stop this. And I hope, you know, Trump gets touched by the Holy Spirit and pulls back, because the Democrats are so evil. But the truth is, they're working with Trump at the highest levels. That's what all the evidence shows. And that's why Todd Blanche killed the investigation into the DOJ and SPLC and CIA running operations against us. That's why it's important to look at the Google search history and realize I never even barely even talked about it, didn't say what they said, was never in the news about it. That's what proved to Elon when he looked at the Twitter files and never even talked about it there, to let him know that it was a lie, what they had said that I'd done. And that's just ongoing. We had a court victory 2 weeks ago. A lot of other victories you don't know about, I can't announce yet for strategic reasons, and so much more. But here's a quick update with just a search we did last week to show you can duplicate yourself on Google to see the truth of their lies about us. That means the lies about you, because they can shut me down. They can shut you up. And then we're going to end the SPLC. More reported indictments coming for them. They don't just fund white supremacist groups. They target patriot groups. It's all coming up in the War Room, 3 p.m. Central. War Room Live with Harrison Smith.
Hello, my name is Harrison Smith, and I'm about to show you what the Alex Jones defamation trial was really all about. And you can follow along. Do this at home. What you do is you go to Google.com and you search the phrase Alex Jones Sandy Hook. Then you hit the news tab. You see the news tab right there? Then you go over here to tools, and you can actually choose a date. You can choose, as I did, December 1st, 2012 through June 1st, 2016. And if you do that, you'll see here, there are no headlines associating Alex Jones with Sandy Hook. There's not a single headline here that shows Alex Jones and Sandy Hook in the same headline. But what happens if you change this date? You go to custom range and we shift it. Let's shift this to 2015. So now we're including the whole year, basically up to December of 2016. What happens if you search 2016? Mr. Trump, denounce Alex Jones, Sandy Hook principal's daughter. Sandy Hook truther Alex Jones says he got a nice thank you call from Donald Trump. Why won't Donald Trump denounce Sandy Hook deniers? Daughter of Sandy Hook victim demands Donald Trump disown Alex Jones. And all of these are from literally about a week after the 2016 election. So to me, it's obvious what happened. Nobody associated Alex Jones as the Sandy Hook guy all the way up through 2016, up until Donald Trump gets elected. Then they notice how much influence Alex Jones had in order to get Donald Trump. They went after Alex Jones, basically to punish him. So to me, that tells you everything you need to know. You can go do this yourself right now, following the instructions I just did. If Alex Jones was the Sandy Hook guy, why were there no stories about it up until 1 week after Donald Trump won the election?
One of the things you've been talking about on your show is your allegation that government officials...
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for 1 second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Follow the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the President's orders. Vicious attacks on Border Patrol and ICE. Their compounds, facilities being shot up, bricks bouncing off their heads, their cars burning, being run over and rammed, the media lying about them. But I've just never seen such courage by law enforcement on such a mass scale. You see a lot of courage by law enforcement, federal, state, local, but just consistently the professionalism, what they did, led by the head of the Border Patrol, Greg Bovino. You can find it, Gregory Bovino, Gregory K. Bovino on X. And it's just amazing what's been happening. I watched last night his interview with Tucker. It's only an hour and a half long. Everybody should watch it. And then, without even looking, I saw the attacks in the corporate media and all over X by the Trump apologist crew. Like, we're leftists, we're the Democrats, Socialists of America, and we're trying to undermine Trump. No, we're concerned. And Greg was very diplomatic when he started saying, hey, they're bringing in some Biden people, they're dialing back, you know, domestic enforcement inside CONUS. Now that's all confirmed, and I'm really concerned. I've talked to my other Border Patrol sources, low-level, mid-level. They say Greg obviously is absolutely right. And so I wanted to have him to have a chance, just on short notice. He joined us for a full hour next week. And he's at the gym. He ran out of the gym to come talk to us to talk about what's really happening and then the criticisms. And he even says, it's not about defending him. It's about defending the truth, like pulling his security, no detail to support him, when he's literally got cartel giant bounties out, confirmed by DHS. And that is just absolutely insane. Why would they do that? Why would they behave like that? Well, it's because you got a bunch of Democrat operatives that have been brought in. And we're sorry that's the news. We're criticizing Trump to get him to course correct, like on the Iran situation and so many others. So, Greg Bovino, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to try to shut up, give you the floor to go wherever you want. First, your Tucker interview, setting the record straight, or just the snapshot of where we really are from the information you have from your sources, not from the RNC propaganda. Thank you, sir.
Well, Alex, thanks for having me, and it's good to see you again. I did the interview there with Tucker yesterday, as you know, and I thought it was very important to get the word out as to what is exactly happening in our nation. Mass deportations are not happening. You've got the Border Patrol. That's the highest it's ever been staffed. 22,000-plus Border Patrol agents standing on the border facing south. Your varsity squad is not in the fight. So I'll tell you, when they say there's more apprehensions than ever before, we're doing the best job we've ever done. Alex, you know, on the way to the gym here this morning, I saw exactly the opposite of that. You see exactly the opposite of that. Mom, Pa, America, the taxpayer sees exactly the opposite of that. That's not taking place. These illegal aliens, these bad people and bad things, they're not buttoned up. They're not self-deporting. They're not worried at all. So at some point, something has to be said. And, you know, back to those numbers, you know, they've apprehended more than ever in a month's time or whatever. One thing, Alex, that I find very interesting, and this is from my sources, my Border Patrol and ICE sources, is why are we counting border crosser numbers in those interior apprehension numbers? Doesn't that seem a little disingenuous? And even more so, isn't that what Hussein Obama did along with Tom Holman back during that regime, counting border crosser apprehensions and making it look like you're removing those individuals from the interior of the country when, in fact, they just came right across the border. That's not the way that works. We don't need to pad numbers now. The reason being is there's 107, 105 million illegal aliens in the United States, plenty to go around. We don't need to pad numbers. We need to put handcuffs on illegal aliens everywhere they are in the United States starting right now. And if we don't do that, and here's probably the most important thing that I talked about on Tucker and with you, you and I talked about this last time as well, is that our culture and our very survival of a nation is at stake. Now, a lot of people want to criticize me for that, for worrying about the survival of our nation. When you have 107 million illegal aliens, how do you think that's going to turn out, folks? Folks, especially those ones that want to criticize them, you're more than welcome to criticize. Hey, I've got some thick skin, and it's not that big of a deal. But your very survival is at stake here. Your culture, everything that you hold dear as an American, that is at stake now. Somebody better damn well say something. And I'm going to say something, and there may be a segment there, that rhino establishment, that cheap labor establishment that doesn't like it. Well, tough crap. If you don't like it, then maybe you need to join the Democratic Party, because they don't like it. Well, what they do like is the 107 million illegal aliens here in the United States. Maybe you need to join that party. Get on board or get out of the way.
Well, let's talk about the responses, the attacks. A, they try to spin that no, your security wasn't pulled, but on record it was. They try to say your 100 plus million is false, even though I've been tracking this forever. And if you look at the presidents just for the 30 years I've been on air, it's above 100 million. And so that's probably a conservative number. Anybody that lives anywhere in the country knows most places looks like the majority of people are illegal aliens. My God, it's just all over the place. It's totally insane. And, you know, then it's an obvious stunt, which Obama and Biden did, to count at border apprehensions as internal. And back at the time, you were the first to nicely and politely and diplomatically say 5 months ago and 3 months ago on my show, you got a little more intense each time. Hey, I know the people being brought in. Here's their names. These are actual Democrats. We have basically stopped all internal enforcement other than people with like huge felony records. And that's all admitted. So no one can deny that that's a shell game to say border apprehensions. But from my information and the videos and my sources at the border, both local law enforcement and Border Patrol, they say that they're being pulled off certain areas, that a lot of bureaucratic moves are being made to actually allow an increase through, and that we're not at 95% apprehension now at the border, and that we're actually getting leakage now, and that now a new caravan is on the way, and Trump points at Spain being invaded by these Moroccan Moor invaders, which took them over, you know, 1,000 years ago, took hundreds of years to kick them out. He says, you vote for Republicans or you'll be like that. Nobody's denying Republicans are better. We just want what we were really pushing for. It's one thing to shut the border down. It's a totally different thing if you aren't actually deporting people by the millions. Speak to that, please.
I'm so glad you mentioned the caravan. What a fantastic segue into what we're going to talk about. How can a caravan form, Alex, if you've got massive interior enforcement going on? It won't form because they're not going to cross the border knowing they're going to run into Border Patrol agents and ICE agents and federal law enforcement agents in the interior, except they know they're not going to run into ICE and Border Patrol in the interior. What this does is when you don't have interior enforcement, that does affect that border. As you say, the leakage, things happen on the border there because once transnational criminal organizations and just your regular run-of-the-mill illegal alien realizes that all I have to do is get past those guys in green on the border and I'm home free and nobody will ever say anything. I'll probably get amnesty. Because remember, worst of the worst is amnesty, code word for amnesty. All I got to do is get across that border. That's how a caravan forms in the first place. They have to know that when they get to that destination, that, well, there's going to be some relief there somehow. And that is their relief. That shell game you're talking about, it's worse than a shell game. It's a pure fraud game as to what's happening here. And, you know, I think regular everyday Americans see it. Many of the social influencers see it. You see it. But who doesn't see it and who refuses to see it is those big donors, those cheap labor Republicans, which in my opinion are even worse than the Democrats now at this point. They see it and they ignore it and they gaslight you and me, Alex. They gaslight America and say, "Hey, that Bovino, he's a kook. He's a liar. Hey, that Bovino guy's a liar now. Well, did you take the security detail away or not?" That's a simple yes or no question. Hey, folks, you know what? I'll arm up and take care of myself. But did you take it away or not? If so, why? Simple questions. Simple questions.
I know you don't want to talk about yourself. You want about yourself, but I watched the Tucker interview, and literally while I had it on one computer, I was surfing around and just seeing the vicious attacks, both in media, influencers, you name it, just savaging you, saying that you're lying when everything you said 5 months ago, 3 months ago, a month ago has been admitted. It looks like we're seeing some attempt at ramping up, freezing visas for now, but that's because of public pressure. But you back at the time pointed out this was coming from Trump, I guess, for political purposes. But let's just go through these. They tried to say you're a liar about having your security pulled when you publicly have cartel bounties on your head. So I mean, let's just walk through, because if they'll attack somebody that was a champion, ultra popular in the public, ultra popular in the Border Patrol, still that, if they would like say you're a traitor, who are these neocons? Who are these never Trumpers that seem to have control of the administration now?
Well, yeah, exactly. To the security detail, you know, I started reporting every assault and every threat back to DHS, fell on deaf ears. I just quit reporting. It happens daily now. You know this, Alex. You're a recognizable guy as well. You know how that goes when you're in public. So many now, I just quit reporting it because obviously that's not an issue for them. But, you know, a lot of those individuals, I will say, I'll name it right now, and people can debate this, but Commissioner Rodney Scott and, you know, that gang there said, well, hey, you know what? We can silence him if we take that security detail away, because they knew what was coming. They knew what was coming. Wholeheartedly, they knew what was coming once they took it away. And, oh, it came all right. It's just the only problem is I'm not silenced. So the next thing he says, well, he must be lying. Did you take it away or not? And when you've got, I call them gate guards. You heard that yesterday on Tucker, the gate guards that guard that information from the big man, from President Trump. I think he would be appalled if he knew something like that was going on. Because remember, Alex, if they can treat me this way, and I'm retired, you know what? I'm retired. What about those poor Border Patrol agents and ICE officers that are unable to retire, don't have the luxuries of retiring? And maybe worked with me in those cities and on those operations.
And by the way, I see the videos every day in L.A., Texas, you know, everywhere. They're being more viciously attacked than ever. It's just not even hitting the news. When they're going to arrest people at meth labs and fentanyl labs and human trafficking, the idiot left is attacking them more than ever. And so looking at this, what needs to be done? Because they try to blame the head of DHS, and I'm not saying he's perfect, but at the end of the day, who is really culpable? Because you were naming some names months ago about these former Biden people they were bringing in. Do we know who's bringing them in? Because I agree with you. I don't think Trump knows. He's blaming the DHS head, maybe he deserves it, for learning that enforcement was dialed way back, confirming what you said months ago, but you're still the bad guy. What's really going on here?
Sure. The DHS folks that I've seen coming back are especially coming back to Customs and Border Protection, the very place they shouldn't come back to. Because remember, Alex, it was CBP and the Border Patrol that had to deal with those millions of illegal aliens coming across the border. The same individuals they're bringing back gave those orders of throughput and decompression. That means bring as many across that border as you can and send them into the U.S. Those people are coming right back into Customs and Border Protection, right back in to the ground zero troops that deal with illegal aliens on a daily basis. Absolutely unbelievable. Now, you might say, well, but why is this? Bovina, you're a kook. Why is this? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen in the midterms. Say that the Democrats do take the midterms, and this is a very interesting piece that myself and a lot of former Border Patrol agents talk about, is they're hedging their bets. because if the Democrats do take it back and you've got a bunch of Biden-era appointees in Customs and Border Protection brought back by Rodney Scott, by Commissioner, by CBP Commissioner Rodney Scott, then what does that do for you as that CBP commissioner with those Democrats that are in office? Wow, you know what? You're a made man automatically. Hey, sailed through the confirmation process pretty easy. And what is he doing now? Bringing back Biden era folks that do not have the best interests of the nation, because that's already been proven. That's definitely not a lie. And bringing those folks back and then hoping to curry political favor for it here in a couple of months. That's what that's about. And that is what you call a feckless bureaucrat, a bureaucrat that is not mass deporting right now, that's pulled every single Border Patrol agent out of the interior, doesn't want them anywhere in the interior. That's your varsity squad, Alex, as you and I have talked many times before. That's your varsity squad. Those are your interior enforcers that have done that for 102 years, the U.S. Border Patrol. They know how to do it. They're your, I guess you could say, your expeditionary force to go in and pacify regions. Yeah. And then you can do things like worst of the worst or targeted once an area is pacified. It's not pacified now, not with 107 million.
Well, look, I'm not an expert like you, but you throw up a big net, that's how you catch the bad guys. I mean, you got to throw up the big net, then you're going to get everybody.
You do. You get everybody. We call that total spectrum immigration enforcement. And that happens to include worst of the worst and targeting. It's just, it includes everything else, like Trump's visa revocations or going after Social Security benefits, not allowing them to rent houses, not allowing them to have bank accounts, don't allow them to send remittances through Western Union back to whatever failed country they came from. It's all that roll up into one. Alex, this has to be total warfare. Total warfare. It has to be every single element. And most importantly, is mom, pa, America, the taxpayer. There's the part that has not been brought in here to this overall war. Look at the ICE tip line. I think I might have broken it.
Oh, look how they're targeting even Target that just followed the law. And when ICE came, didn't block you and fight you. Look at how they're harassing. They find citizens that call the tip line. They're doxing them. This is terrorism. This is replacement migration. You're absolutely right. Finish your point on that because it's so important. In the time we have left, I then want to talk to you about, well, finish the point on the tip line.
Tip line. That's fallacy. It's never worked, never has worked, and was never meant to work. But just imagine if you brought, those 77 million voters in there in every region, every state, every locale in the United States, utilized that tip line and had the Border Patrol, a uniformed law enforcement agency, the immigration police, just like a police officer, doing calls for service. Wow, what a powerful thing that is. You know, we briefed that time and again to that ICE leadership, the Tom Holmans of the world, fell on deaf ears. There's a lot that can be done here, total spectrum immigration enforcement. We can win this, Alex, but we've got 2 years or less to do it. We can actually deport all 107 million.
And that's why you're sticking your neck out and doing this. You're a hero and getting demonized by a bunch of never-Trumpers that think they've taken the party over and instead are going to lose the midterms and run the country to the ground. But you said something that then I talked to my sources, and they said, yeah, we were gearing up, and you were going to get into it more later. Maybe I missed it when you talked about it, but you guys had Trump's green light. If people thought what we saw under your leadership that was the boldest immigration enforcement since Eisenhower and his operations, you guys were about to go on a major offense. So Trump didn't just, or whoever did it, kill that offense. They dialed it back. Can you describe for people now? You said, I can't get into it too much now. More I will later. Can you get into now what was prepared, a real D-Day operation? And then what do you think the head of the DHS should do to you? Do you blame him, or is he being used as a scapegoat?
Yes, the operation, it was a D-Day type operation. So look at what 250 Border Patrol agents did nationwide. That caused 2 million self-deportations. That was only 250 Border Patrol agents. And then the fantastic ICE agents as well. Well, that was getting dialed up to 10 to 15,000 uniformed Border Patrol agents, another 20, 30,000 ICE agents, then taking uniformed police officers that are 287G trained. 287G is when a local police department or a local police officer is trained in immigration enforcement. They're trained to be able to recognize illegal aliens and arrest illegal aliens.
So you're talking about local task force is what we got to have to leverage up.
Local task force, and then that task force assigned to us. So you've got 60 to 70,000 uniformed. Remember, uniform is so very key here. Uniformed immigration police conducting those operations in conjunction with that total spectrum immigration enforcement that we're talking about nationwide, simultaneously, at the same time, supported by the U.S. military, supported by those large cruise ships steaming out of the United States with tens of thousands of illegal aliens on them to whatever port of call they're going to, and removing these people wholesale. And it's not a hard concept, but that strategy was on the books.
Sure.
And I don't think Trump stopped it, Alex. I don't think – you know what? I've always given Trump credit. I think that he was for that. I think the gate guards, the Rodney Scotts, the Tom Holmans, shortstopped that.
Let's speak to that because for my sources, which yours are better, it's exactly true. He's been chewing them all out. And Holman comes off as a likable guy, and you know him well, but I don't even see him a lot in the news now. It's almost like he's hiding. Let's go ahead and just call it what it is, spade's a spade. We're not trying to be mean here, but what's really going on? Because I see Holman pop up every once in a while, and I'm sorry, it's a stream of diarrhea. It's not true from all my information. What's going on with him?
We'll call that the chicken plant mentality, the chicken plant mentality. And what that is, and we laughed about this for many years in the Border Patrol, Alex, the Tom Holmans of the world, that ICE leadership would go raid a chicken plant once a year, say Mississippi or somewhere like that, arrest 400 illegal aliens. That's great. Hey, we all want that. Do it once a year, splash it across the headlines, and make the poor American public think it's being done every day and that we've got real immigration enforcement. That is what's being done now. I think the modern term for that is gaslighting. We're being gaslit by that. You heard about the Maryland operation here, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Oh, they arrested 1,500 in 2 weeks. That's not every day all over the United States. That was one operation somewhere. Quit trying to act like that's happening everywhere. Quit padding your numbers, Tom, with border crosser apprehensions. He did that under Hussein Obama. Got an award for it. I think got the presidential medal. And that doesn't work now because there's enough of us out there now that can speak freely.
No, you're right. Freely. I mean, I kind of got conned by it, too. If he worked for Obama and got praised, how are we sold on praising Tom Holman when he was basically being lauded by Obama? That's not a good sign.
Not a good sign. You know, many of us were getting fired under Biden. I actually got the axe there back in 2022. And I managed to come back up out of the ground there, come back from the dead. But, you should be diametrically opposed to communists like Hussein Obama and Joe Corpse Biden.
Now, you never talk about yourself. When I had you on 3-4 months ago, I said, man, you're doing this all on your own dime. You ought to write a book. Oh, I'm doing that. But you're doing something I did that I want to bring back. It was very successful. You're coming out with a whiskey, and you didn't ask for this. I said, hey, buddy, we need to support you. We're in a war. Plus, I'm going to drink your whiskey. I can't wait to see how good it is. I bet it's going to be great. That comes out in 2 weeks. Tell us about commanders-choice.com.
Yeah, commanders-choice.com. This was something born of the Border Patrol. They said, hey, what about a tribute whiskey to all the law enforcement, all the Border Patrol agents, Mom and Pa America that supported you in the fight? You know, I thought about that. Well, wait a second. You know, that might be a good idea, but we had to have a good label and a good whiskey. So, if you go into that website, you can see what the label looks like. You know, the left is going to lose their minds here, Alex. It says deport them all and for the tribe. For the tribe is for, again, those law enforcement and Mom and Pa America. And this one's for you. It's 4-grain whiskey. I think it tastes pretty good, but
that's a gorgeous label. Well, listen, I got talked into this, and then the company got bought, and then was by liberals, so they didn't want to do it again. We sold out in like 2 days of 30,000 bottles of 7076 Kentucky whiskey. And people didn't understand, as populist, as right wingers, as nationalist, we have to have an economy. Whenever Judicial Watch sued the Clintons and others, and so did WorldNet Daily. They got all these documents when they first got elected. They said, we got to shut down populist economies, newsletters, videos back then, 30 years ago. They're obsessed with that. It is important to celebrate our culture and support our hard chargers. So I'm going to put it in order, a pre-order right now at commanders-choice.com. And Greg Bovino, please join us again for a full hour, deep dive. You can send all your key intel. And we'll open the phones up if you want the second half to hear from Border Patrol to call in. And I know they're going to back you because I talked to them. And I just want to thank you so much. And God bless you. And be safe out there. We need you, brother.
God bless you, Alex. It's good to be here. And I'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
I tell you, just don't stop. That guy's an American patriot, putting it all on the line. That's what we need in leadership. We need a clone, Greg Bovino. Hour number two, straight ahead. Be sure to support us at thealexjonesstore.com. We can't do it without you. We need your help. We're in this together. Stay with us.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited power!
I'm not going to be like that.
Well, I'm like that normally.
So. Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.